This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Renegade Roundtable, the open forum for hosts and callers to get together and discuss the important issues facing our people. This is your opportunity to have your voice heard, so give us a call right here on Renegade Broadcasting.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, renegadebroadcasting.com, the Renegade Roundtable is the show that we're doing. Not all niggers are bad. You know that, don't you? The date... Oh, we've got some noise in the background there. I think it might be coming from Jeb. Jeb, welcome to the broadcast already, and are you here to talk, or are you just listening in at the moment, sir? All right. Yes, I think that Jeb's forgotten to mute himself. Hello there, Jeb. All right, what we might do is we might hang up on Jeb because we don't want to hear any of his private family conversations going on in the background there. And when he comes back, we'll see if he wants to talk or if he wants to just listen in. That's the roundtable for you. Some people like to join early to listen in, and others like to join in early to talk. So this is the roundtable, 747-222-8807. That's 747-222-8807. If you'd like to become a part of it, no two if buts or maybes about a lot to talk about. If you happen to be an Australian, 0881214481. 0881214481. Give us a call. Not all niggers are bad. Not all Jews are bad. Not all this is bad. Not all that's bad. Not all bad, bad, bad. Sick of hearing it. Because, you know, people sort of become complicit when these peoples start trouble, and then they say, not all, not this, not that, not all. But you know what made me laugh is after the Graham debacle, we had a comment in the chat section there, the comment section, from somebody called Daniel. And one of the things he said was, last time I checked, no Jews are going around saying not all Nazis are bad. I thought that was absolutely fantastic. We've got a caller coming in from the 985 area. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, Sean. You probably know me by now. I've been on shows with Chris. This is David Dotrieve, and this is my first roundtable session, and I'm hoping we'll get more callers in because I'm looking forward to what I described on Chris's show as a court. You know, we don't just have to call this a roundtable; we can call this a court. You know, because like we say, we're the only legitimate body of people who actually have stuff to say that matters.
Yeah,
is that right?
Oh, absolutely, sir. Yeah, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you.
A few things lined up there, David. I have actually heard you call into Chris's show. You might be interested in discussing a few things here that I've got lined up for the roundtable, and of course, you can bring your own thoughts to it as well. And I'm sure we'll get more callers as the evening goes on. But one of the things I thought was really interesting, as I was just discussing during the intro there, David, was that, you know, during the time that there were people on the network saying, you know, Graham in particular, saying that not all Jews are evil and not all Jews and that, as far as I was concerned, and I discussed it on my show, as long as you bear the title Jew, you're no friend of mine, I won't be sorting you out, given that the title Jew is so stained by everything that Talmud stands for and everything that the Learned Elders of Zion, the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion stand for, I won't be sorting you out when push comes to shove, when the proverbial shit comes home to roost on the proverbial fan. And we had a comment that, and this is the where I'm going with this, we had a comment from Daniel after the show there, one of the shows, saying, last time I checked, no Jews are going around saying not all Nazis were bad people. I think it's a good point, David, and I'll tell you why. It's because I've met many Nazis. Not as many neo-Nazis as what I have, I guess you could say, almost conservative political Nazis. And I've never met a bad one yet. So, but we don't see the Jews actually out there. We don't see David Cole as an example. Some people say, well, not all Jews are evil. Take a look at David Cole. But we don't see David Cole coming out and saying, not all Nazis are evil, which I find very, very interesting. I thought that was an important point to make. I think Daniel's onto something there.
You know what? All I got to say is I've heard a lot of these movements, which I'm known by now, that things like Jews against Zionism and Jews against Israel, those are, I like to call those front, what's the word, pro-intel or psyops.
Yeah.
Because though these Jews may be against Zionism, I have not met one Jew against white genocide, nor have I met one Jew against the persecution of white people. So, yeah, you titled the show pretty good tonight. Yeah. Because I don't know. Many people don't touch on these subjects. It's like something we overlook.
Mm, yeah. Well, I think you make a great point, too. You know, you do. You get these so-called Jews of the Torah that come out and say, we're Jews of the Torah. We don't believe that Israel should exist, and we don't believe in Zionism. Well, hold on a second. What, out of the other side of one side of your mouth, you're saying that, but out of the other, you're not saying that white genocide shouldn't be taking place. You're still saying that Judaism should be the lead. I mean, this is exactly what Zionists believe, that should be the leading race and or religion, whatever they decide it to be on the day. These Jews of the Torah are exactly that. They're friggin' hypocrites. And how do we know for sure, David, that they don't go along with Zionism in the first place? As you said, like, it's one big psyop. They tell us one thing but believe the total other. And this is what's actually trained into them via the Talmud. The Talmud tells them to lie to the goy, to deceive the goy. And from all these different texts, like the Zohar, the Talmud, the Tanakh, all of these, they're trained to lie to the goy. And then all of these different texts are also translated down to one text known as the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, so that it's easier for the Jew to get a hold of the way he's supposed to treat the world a lot quicker. Anybody who reads those protocols, whether they be labeled a forgery or not, as somebody recently said, a forgery of what? Right? Whether it's labeled a forgery or not, everything that's within those protocols has come to fruition and is still coming to fruition. So if these Jews are being trained by the guidelines of these protocols, which they absolutely are through the Talmud and the Zohar, the Tanakh and all of those, well then, of course, they are obviously bullcrapping us every time they say, well, we're not Jews of the Zionism. What a load of horse crap. They're Jews. They're Zionists all the way.
That's exactly what I try to tell people. I've said that many times, exactly the way you just said it. It doesn't matter at all whether or not the Protocols of the Elders of Zion was written by somebody official or somebody legitimate, or if they were if they were meant to be taken seriously. The fact, when it comes to the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, is that we are living it. Yes, I am living it. That's all the proof that I need. I don't need no written documentation from Freedom of Information Act to tell me otherwise, because what do we see on television? What do we see on the movies? What do we see in literature and art? Everything that they have corrupted, they tell us it's art. They tell us it's talent. You and I both know better. I mean, Miley Cyrus, Britney Spears, all these other Hollywood-controlled Jews, none of that's talent, but yet they push it off as talent. And,
yeah.
And something else I wanted to touch on. I'm getting a mental block. That's all right. It'll come to me.
It'll come back, yeah.
Like I said, yeah, there's so much to touch on. So,
to actually talk about what you were discussing just there when it comes to how they've perverted art, we've seen Jewesses out on the street up on like this ladder or trestle type deal with their legs open. Now, they're clothed, but their legs open. They're obviously not wearing underwear, and allowing period blood to fall on pieces of butcher's paper and then calling that art. I don't know how anybody in their right mind, just because she bears the title Jew, could think for a moment that that is a form of art. See, people, this is what really upsets me, David. people are so brainwashed into thinking that they have to pity the poor Jew that died and so many at the Holocaust, even though they didn't. We know that now. We know that very easily now due to their rubbish and their absolute bloody comedy, if you ask me, when it comes to skin lampshades and all this. Just because she happens to bear the title Jew, oh, we're supposed to look at her and go, oh, golf clap, 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 well done. That is such beautiful art. No, that's not art. That's period blood, and that's something that needs to be in private. That's not something we should be making public, especially in such a disgusting manner. That's the sort of art that they're pushing now so that it degenerates our art. Once upon a time, the most beautiful paintings coming out of some of the most beautiful artists ever to be seen. And now we're putting up with period blood on the streets, and just because she's a Jewess, oh, that's something to clap at. What a joke. People need to really take a look at themselves in the mirror.
Yep. I mean, I'm amazed at how much my mindset has actually changed in the past year, because I'm just getting on board with all this. I mean, we all have to start somewhere, but I have not been awake to this entire Jew World Order fact until just about a year ago. And let me tell you, when you find this out, you'll, like George Lincoln Rockwell said, you'll never ever go back to the truth.
Exactly.
I mean, you'll never go back to your lie. I mean, it's like
what, oh, I know what you
to
mean,
talk
yeah.
about when I went to a Christian school. You know, we're saving souls, in other words. And every time you wake somebody up, every time somebody finally figures out the deal, their soul is being saved, just like if they were going to church. But, I mean, we all know the brainwashing in there about how they've corrupted pretty much every religion. I mean, when you really think about religion itself, it's a very Judaic-sized idea, a very Judaic-sized prophecy about an all-powerful, almighty, omnipresent God, always looking down upon you like he's some kind of big brother. And if you cross him, he will unleash a holocaust against you and your children, and you will suffer for all of eternity. And then you tell me that is an all-loving God.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. What a joke. I was actually brought up through Catholicism, as many have been that have been listening to Renegade. I get people write to me all the time about their experiences. Charles Giuliani went through a similar thing, and I was lucky to come out of the other side with a level head because of the bullcrap that they put into your brain. I was partially brought up by the nuns and priests because I was put into a private Catholic school, and the nuns, I can remember one thing that one of the nuns said. It's very vivid in my mind, actually, David. I got off the bus, the school bus at the time. I just walked in, and at the gate, Sister Monica was standing there waiting. And she said, "Sean, where's your rosary beads?" Not the other kids didn't have them around their necks or anything, but because I was one of the poorer kids, I guess that was a reason to pull me out of the crowd. But she said, where's your rosary beads?" And when I say poorer kids, you know, they sort of looked out for the poorer kids more, as though you need more God more in your life than these richer kids. Just to keep that clear in people's minds, "Where's your rosary beads, Sean?" I said, "Well, they're in my bag, sister." And she said, "Oh, well, we don't wear Jesus around. We don't put Jesus in our bag, Sean. We wear Jesus around our necks." So I take these bloody rosary beads out and put them around my neck. Then we had to do church every Monday. We were hardcore. We had this stuff hardcore drummed into us. And one of the common things was that if you don't believe in God in the way that he needs to be believed in, well, then you're going to go to hell. You know, you could burn for eternity. And in a child's mind, that creates all kinds of trauma to the point where most kids don't come out of the other side with a level mind. For the rest of their time, they believe in this so-called God in the sky because it's a threat in their brain if they don't. It's absolute junk.
We've been so taught that to question it is, you know, that's a sign of crossing over to the other side, or a sign, or one step towards hell is where you're going. See, I'm having trouble with family members of mine right now. I mean, see, it's almost like I can't look at people straight in the eye that have woken up to this this Jewish control of everything that we know amongst us, but yet they still have the finesse in them to go along with these Redeemer religions. And that's all they are, is Redeemer religion, whereas, yeah, you know, the idea of original sin and of you know, the rest of it that goes along with it, original sin, and about how you have to, you are born already a sinner, and you have to, and for some reason you got to work your ass off the rest of your life for no reason, and you are paying for the sins of what two people committed, allegedly the first two human beings ever. And then
<It's>
I mean, the list goes on.
I know the very thought that, guess what, you are a sinner, but hold on a second, I'm not out of nappies yet. Mum, Dad, I'm not out of nappies yet. It doesn't matter. You're an evil little bastard, and you must redeem your sins. But no buts. Get down and pray. Otherwise, you will be thrown to the back burner. Literally. Holy crap. What? You know, I blamed my mother for so many years after getting out of St. Mary's, because all I could think was, you put me through that shit. What were you thinking? You know, and this is a big part of it too. The Jews love the idea that these religions are created, and to me it's irrelevant whether they created it or not, whether they helped create Christianity or not. And the reason being is because they use it as an instrument to divide people. And it does exactly that. You know, you come out of the other side and you go, my God, Mum, you put me through that brainwashing mess. And now I'm part mangled because you put me through it. And then you've got the other side, which is, well, Mum, I'm so glad that you put me through Catholicism because, you know, I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to do this every day. They're buying into the Judaic bullshit. Oh, either way, see, either side of the coin, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, see, that's why I admire somebody. Well, I mean, I know there's a lot of, even on Renegade, there's probably some controversy around Adolf Hitler, but like the man or not, whether he was genuine or whether he was a Rothschild, as some people say, he created a movement into which got away from any sort of controlled Redeemer religion, and he made his religion. Let's just say he didn't even make religion. He brought people back to their roots.
Yeah.
And by roots, I mean, let's break down the word Aryan. Okay,
yeah.
What's in that word? Air. Air. Air comes from trees. And I know I've heard, probably heard Kyle say this before. Air. Aryan. Trees. We used to be people of the forest. And what are they doing right now? They're deforesting the world right now. They are taking away our oxygen. They are taking away our trees. And I even remember Kyle saying, "Now, take a set of lungs, turn them upside down. What does it look like? A tree."
Yeah.
So right there. I mean, we used to be people of nature. We used to be people of the forest. And now, and instead, they're giving us, and they're turning our trees and our forests into books. Most of them Bibles, and telling us that, why go to that when you have an omnipresent, all-knowing, all-powerful God amongst you? Why would you need?
Yeah.
I mean, I can go on forever, man.
Well, when it comes to, you're absolutely right. I mean, they're taking the nature out of us. This is why they get us dependent on living off supermarkets instead of going out and growing our own food. But the aspect that you speak of when it comes to they're turning our trees into books, that's a really good one, because see, they want us to live not just by the supermarket, but only what's in the book rather than life experience. So when we read about how to grow our own foods, it's limited in knowledge, because the only way you can really learn how to grow foods is get out and do it yourself. So what they do is they put something in a book and they expect you to be as bound as that book is. You are bound to the books. You're bound to books. You're bound to science via books. You're bound to herpetology via books. You're bound to everything via books, mathematics, English, language. And as long as you're bound to those books, you're only being taught what they want you to know. And I wholeheartedly believe, David, this is why I think it's such a good point that you brought up, that they want us bound to those books Because it keeps us in that circle. Once upon a time in schools, they taught us how to learn. Now they teach us what to learn. And the moment you move out of that circle, they jump up and down. There's a collective gasp as if to say, you can't think outside the square that we live in, because if you do, you're not going to be accepted. This is why Renegade is frowned upon by the mainstream media and other cronies that come out of government that are basically puppeteered by the Jews, such as the Rothschilds, Benjamin Netanyahu, and all of those. It's because we're thinking outside the square we live in. And I think this is why Renegade's getting so big so quickly, is because people are sick to death of being bound. They want to get out and do shit for themselves instead of being told, no, you must be bound by this friggin' book.
You know, I almost wanted to cry when I started. But because I've only been a listener of Renegade, thanks to Chris Dorsey, since about June or July this past summer. And as, when I started listening to Renegade, I started seeing a lot of these, let's just say I'm somebody that just recently came over from the alternative right. And I didn't even know what the alternative right really was until Renegade started pointing it out to me. All I knew was people like Red Ice, David Duke, Jared Taylor, a lot of these people. I never really looked into their backgrounds. They had a message that I liked, and I trusted them, because, you know, Jared Taylor, oh, Jews look white to me, and you know, let's be fashy goys. You know, we gotta tone down our message a little bit if we want to get into the mainstream and get heard. You know, there ain't no such thing as bad press. Well, I'm starting to find out that this is how deep COINTELPRO goes. I tell people, look, you don't have to be a shill and not diss the Jews. Oh, these Jews, they're insidious and they're smart. They will throw their own people under the bus, and it's even in their protocols. I even remember reading one of their protocols about, even if we got to use our own people to further our agenda, by God we will. And that's what they're doing. They're getting people to act like they're, you know, white supremacists or somebody pro-white or a fashy goy on the alternative right. And then that's when they lure. They had me hook, line, and sinker, and I thank Renegade every single day of my life, in my heart, and through my tongue, for getting me off that Trump train, because it is heading for Zion, and I just hate seeing so many people I know and love on that train not knowing where it's going.
Oh, look, I wholeheartedly agree with you. You know, there's close friends to me, people that I love very dearly, that are still on that train, even, and I'm not just talking Americans, even some Australians that would want to see Trump in because of certain stances he takes, but they're not looking at the other stance that he's taking, which is the Zionist stance. We've got another caller calling into the roundtable at the present time. 913, where you calling from? What's your name?
Hello, my name is Josh. I'm 17. I'm from Kansas.
Sorry for being
a little nervous here. It's kind of like I'm talking to celebrities here. I just found out about you guys not too long ago, and it's been really eye-opening for me. It's been a long experience. Sorry for the long introduction, but I don't really have anything I necessarily want to talk about. But I really support the work that you guys do here.
Well, thank
you,
Josh.
You're a regular Joe like us, man.
It's good to have you here. Don't be nervous, because we're not celebrities. We're just people like you. We're sitting here just having a discussion. It's just, imagine it like a sitting around a campfire having a couple of beers. Well, of course, you're not meant to be drinking at your age, apparently. The Jew system says so. But what happens is us, just imagine it as that we're sitting around having a few beers and enjoying some conversation about what's really going on, rather than what we're being told via the mainstream media. What part of the states are you from, Josh? Do you mind me asking? Don't give me any specifics, just like what state you're from.
I'm from Kansas.
Kansas, okay. All right, excellent. Nice.
Yeah, right in the middle.
There we go. Yep. All right, well, glad to have you, and you can jump in any time. Gentlemen, I want to bring something to the table. I was talking about just recently how football and sports are nothing but a distraction. And a man I consider a friend of mine now, by the name of Digger for Truth, that writes some articles over there on the Tribune, wrote an article specifically about this. So as soon as he heard me talking about sports and how they're a distraction and everything, they're a Judaic distraction, he straight away said, "Hey, Sean, I've got something that's right up your alley." And he said, 10 reasons why football is dangerous to society. So what do you reckon? Do you think we should go through these 10 reasons and just comment accordingly on each reason?
Let's start with you,
David, and then Josh will get your thoughts.
Okay. I just had to jump in and say that because of my regular job every day. I work in the hospitality industry at a hotel. I'm a maintenance man. And, of course, the highlight of everybody's morning or everybody's day is talking about football, which is a rigged sport. I mean, I'm from New Orleans. You know, people I know love and worship the Saints. You know, I can't help but think back. You know, this is like the Roman times, you know, bread and circuses. We're enjoying a bunch of guys sitting around, drinking beer, getting fat, eating chips.
Yeah.
It's a spectator sport, and we're watching guys, let's see, how do I put it? Chase a ball around in circles, these overpaid celebrities. And that's another thing. I find it a very Judaicized idea, in fact, about sports, about how kids these days, they don't really have good role models to look up to, except these overpaid guys running around in circles, chasing a ball around.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't mean to cut the other fellow off. I'd really like to hear what he says, since he's never called into the show and he's new. So, what's your name again?
My name's Josh. And if we're talking about propaganda here and the way that the Jews and whoever else is, you know, ruling us is you know, pushing these things into our lives, it's not just football. You know, there's so many more things, but football is a major thing, you know.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I'll babysit for my, you know, mom's friends, and I'll see all these, you know, sports magazines laying around with nothing but black men on the covers.
Yeah.
But it's really everywhere. I mean, I think the NBA, NFL, it's all, you know, majority black. And
yeah, that's a Jew creation.
Just the image that gives people, you know.
Jew creation in itself is to get the blacks in there. There's no doubt about it. We're soon to hit a break, gentlemen. But this is sort of going to be an article that works in a generic fashion, Josh. So whilst you say that, well, this is just not football, it's not just football, it's so many other aspects, not just different sports, but we see television programs spreading the same propaganda. But this will at least give us an idea, or those that are new to this, an idea of just how kosher this all is. One of the things that really annoys me, in fact, before we get to the break, just quickly, that both you gentlemen might be able to comment on, is this. The fact that people continuously use this saying, kosher, almost as if it's in daily speech. Well, that's not kosher. That's their way of saying, well, that's not good. But they don't realize, especially over here in Australia, that when they're saying that's not kosher, what they're really saying is that's not Judaic. That is not fit for the Jew. And it really upsets me, whether it be Americans, the English, the Irish, the Scottish, the Australians, to hear them using this in their daily speech on a serious level. When they're doing it to mock out the Le Happy Merchant type deal, I can see that as somewhat humorous. But we have people here in Australia, and I've seen people over in the States using that as, well, it's not kosher. In a serious manner, I'm just thinking, why would you use that? And a lot of other people say shalom, as if it's everyday speech as well. And it really annoys the hell out of me, gents. Maybe you'll have something to speak about that as well before we get to the 10 reasons why football, among other propaganda, as Josh has pointed out, is dangerous to society. Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming up to a break. This is the Renegade Roundtable, brought to you live by RenegadeBroadcasting.com. We'll be right back after this short message. Stay tuned.
Hello everyone, Kyle Hunt here, founder of Renegade Broadcasting. I hope you're enjoying all of the free content we have here. The reality is that it's free for you, but not free for us. Putting on all of these shows day after day, night after night, does take time and money. Sean Surplus is here with me for every show, working as our audio engineer to ensure high-quality production. Why not help him out by sending him a donation? Click on his picture in the lineup to get to his archive page. Then click on the donate button. Your donations will help us to upgrade, expand, and keep pushing forward. Thank you for supporting Sean's hard work.
Table, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined by Josh and David. Josh from Kansas, and David, where are you from, sir?
I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh, there
well,
we go, New Orleans.
Actually, 20 miles from it.
There we go. All right, yeah. So,
well,
go
yeah,
ahead.
Sean, I would before I let you continue, all I got to say is I got to get up and go to work tomorrow, and it has been such a pleasure being a part of this roundtable, and I want to ask Josh if he would please stay on, because obviously you can't really call this show a roundtable unless you got more than two people. So please, Josh, don't let Sean hang here on his own.
Yeah, I'll definitely stay.
There
all right,
we
go. Well, good night, fellas, and please, I'll try to listen to the rest of the show, but I better get going. I got things to do, so y'all take care.
Take care of yourself, David. Thanks for the call, mate. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
Okay. Yeah. No, Josh, you've really been thrown in the deep end now. Now you've got to stay.
Yeah.
So you're only young, Josh. Now, don't worry. If you come out with anything kosher, we'll forgive you because you're still learning. But I tell you what, in all seriousness, though, in everything you've said so far, you're very awake for a young man, which is great to see, because one of the hardest things for us to do here at Renegade is wake many of those younger people up, because, I mean, yous are in schools that are pushing the Holocaust as a serious thing. You're in schools that are pushing the niggification of white Western societies. So, you know, yous have it rougher than us. You know, we've grown up and become a bit wise, if you will, and we've grown up with, I guess you could almost say, being trained with a form of testicular fortitude that allows us to be a bit beefy, but you guys are still learning. It's good to have you aboard here to let other young people know that it's okay to speak out.
Thank you very much. There's a lot that's been going on that's really been pissing me off. I know that sounds kind of generic, but it's so hard to, you know, keep up a positive morale in this day and age, especially in school. I know it must be, you know, difficult for you too, but you know, just being in school, being around everything, being taught this bullshit, it makes you want to scream.
Oh yeah, it does, especially when you're in a school environment. I actually dropped out at a young age. I was 14 when I dropped out, late 14. The reason being is because I simply didn't get along with the teachers. I was hyperactive. I challenged the teachers on some of their facts. That didn't go down well. So I ended up dropping out quite early, Josh, and I'm not necessarily advocating that everybody else do the same, but I would say this, that I found in this order, public school to be atrocious when it comes to sticking the Holocaust up your ass. I found that private school is better in that it makes you think for yourself a little more, but it's still pretty bad. That homeschooling is the best way people can go. You know, it's great to see that people like yourself, obviously you're in the schooling system, at your age, unless, of course, you're getting homeschooled, it's great to see people your age actually coming out and saying, you know, about, albeit that this schooling is shoved up my butt, I'm still able to be here and think for myself. That is a really, that's a tilt of the hat to you.
Well, thank you very much. And I just want to kind of give you an example of what we're dealing with here.
Please.
I know you're probably well aware, but is that okay?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. We'd love that.
So I decided to take a lot of journalism classes this year. I don't know why. I should have done science and math and stuff like that.
The same as my son, by the way. He took journalism classes or form of. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. But I decided to, for my first story, I decided to write a story about the Louisiana flooding. And I went a little deeper because at the time I was going to be writing my story, the Louisiana floods were going to be kind of, you know, something in the past. I'm not saying that they weren't significant at all, but, you know, as far as stories go about the floods, it would be a little bit repetitive.
Right.
So I found out an interesting aspect of the story, and it was that looting, this is probably pretty self-explanatory, but looting increases in crimes like tenfold. It's crazy. And I found out for Louisiana that at the time that the news report, the police reports were out, all 14 suspects were African-American males.
Go figure.
Right. I included that in my paper. I said, of course, I'm not trying to, you know, I wasn't being racist. I wasn't saying the things that I'd say to my friends or that I'd say to you.
Right.
But I included that they were African-American males. And then that's the only time I mentioned race at all. I said, you know, 14 African-American males, blah, blah, blah.
You spoke facts.
Yeah, yeah. And what happened is the student editor, apparently the teacher doesn't have any say in what goes on, but I know she does. But the student editor, she completely took out the African-American part and then reported to me that they're not going to be publishing my story. So that's pretty funny.
Here's something you'll be happy to know, Josh. There was a YouTube clip out at one stage by Reverend James Manning. Now, Reverend James Manning is a black man himself. I found it very interesting. I don't trust the guy because he believes in the whole greater Israel and all of that. He believes that Israel is well within its rights and that Jews are well within their rights and everything. So I don't trust the guy. But I found it very interesting that a black man actually came out and reported what took place when it comes to the looting of Louisiana and what took place during Fukushima over there in Japan. What happens is he compared the two. He said, let's take a look at what took place over in Japan during Fukushima compared to what took place over in Louisiana. So he showed film of the Louisiana lootings, and it was black men running in, smashing windows. They weren't helping people at all. You know, they were also reported to be kicking their own families in the face to get to the helicopters first. The same sort of thing with the same sort of thing in general when it comes to Hurricane Katrina. He then showed the Japanese and how they came together after the Fukushima disaster, and the Japanese not just didn't loot. There was just no looting to be seen, not even one iota. It was zero. So not only were they not looting, but they were picking total strangers up off the street because they're very nationalistic. They're very much nationalist when it comes to the Japanese. They were picking their own people up off the street and taking them into their houses to give them warm soup and stuff like that. It showed the difference between the African-American Negro and the Japanese people. You have a savage compared to at least a partial civilized mind. And I'm not saying that the Japanese, because they are the way they are, they're so much more advanced than the North American yard ape, that we should take them under our arms. But what I will say is that they should keep to their own as they have been for centuries. The development, though, shows, right, they themselves within their Japanese mind shows just how far advanced they are to these goddamn savages that were kicking and beating their own families and looting like they were over there in Louisiana, as you've rightly said. This teacher that took that out, or the student that took that out, should be severely punished. Well, maybe not the student, because the student's listening, learning, but the teacher that condones the taking out of that information and then telling you that it shouldn't be published when you didn't show any bias on any side. All you're saying is these are the facts. That teacher should be severely punished. If it was up to me, he or she would be.
And to give you more clarification, the story wasn't even about race at all. The story that I wrote was about, you know, community and family values and, you know, how to recover after, you know, something like this.
Yeah.
But it's funny how they were able to pinpoint that small detail that I feel like an average person wouldn't really care that much about. It's just in, you know, academia and the education system that these people feel the need to you know, assume the moral high ground. It's silly.
And assume you to be a racist pig or something, whatever the term they would use.
I actually had to talk to them after that. I wanted to confront them on their bull crap. But of course, they made up some stupid excuse as to why the paper couldn't be published, the story couldn't be published. I even wrote out, you know, like an essay about talking about how silly they were being. And how minute this detail really was. But the reason that I persisted was because, you know, I believe in telling the truth, you know. And when it comes to police reports and things like that, race does matter.
Absolutely.
And these things matter in journalism. All of the details. It doesn't matter, you know, if the man was black, if the man was white, if the man was, you know, Native American or Asian. These things are important. They're sitting there trying to tell me that it's not important, and then I call out their double standard. Like, well, if this was like, you know, completely Caucasian crime, and let's say a majority black state or majority black area, you guys want to know the race? Don't act like you wouldn't. It is an important thing.
Yeah.
But even, you know, aside from me having a complete civil discussion with them about, I didn't even go that into detail. Like I talked to my family about these issues. But just pointing out that double standard, you know, really exposed, I feel like, really showed them, even though they didn't completely agree with me, that these ideas exist. And throughout, you know, my entire time in this class, my entire time throughout the education system, as long as I'm there, I plan on doing that, even though, the difference it'll make will be minuscule. I think it's necessary.
Absolutely necessary. You know, I've basically given away a lot of what, you know, I guess you could say I could have been, because I refuse to play their game. And you're absolutely right, sir. When it comes to, you know, you have to know who the criminal was by description. You know, they're very quick to say, oh, white, you know, Caucasian, so high, plump, whatever, but yet when it's a black, they just conveniently leave the colour out. Now, one of the things that Jimmy X said, a gentleman that I used to co-host with on a show called Radio X there, Josh, he used to say all the time, we need to know the colour. I always like this scenario. You've got a black street, and all of the black people are playing soccer or whatever out in their front lawns, and there's one white dude walking through. We have a report that there's a murderer on the loose, right? Because I like to reverse it. It fucks with people's psychology. Pardon my French. But you say, right, there's a murderer on the loose. Let's say that white dude was the murderer. He's walking through. He's walking through the street. He's the only white dude there. The rest of the people are black. You can spot him a mile away, but guess what? You don't know he's the murderer because nobody said that he was white. Now that we take a look at the reverse, that's exactly what's happening in the United States of America, sometimes over here in Australia, where they will explain down to the letter when a person is Caucasian murderer, but they won't say it when it's black. So you've got this black murderer walking through the streets right after he's raped somebody, and you don't know that he was black, even though he sticks out like dog's testicles, right, down the street. You don't know that he's the murderer because they wouldn't dare to say that he was black. Thank God that he has a name I don't know, what's a black male name? Let's use a female. I always like Shaniqua. You know, when they say, yes, that's right, we're looking for such and such as a suspect, Shaniqua, and you go, oh, like, we can't tell who that is. Otherwise, nobody would know these people are black because the media just won't go near it.
Yeah, and more on this, you know, whole bias of reporting on race. I watched a video that was made a couple of years ago by Kyle Hunt, and it was about all these old women, all these old men who had been attacked in their homes by, you know, black people, and they never reported on the race. Of course, they'd show the race, and then, you know, he had, you know, all these clips back to back, all these different news reports back to back on all these different incidents, and it's just, it's right in our face.
Yeah.
But we're all so scared to say anything about it.
That's the whole thing. People are afraid of discussing it. Speaking of people being afraid, ladies and gentlemen, you can call in too. This is a live roundtable here on your Saturday, 24th, 2016, which is Sunday, 25th, 2016 here in Australia. You can call in too, 747-222-8807. 747-222-8807. Or if you happen to be Australian, 0881214481. 0881214481. By all means, give us a call and join Josh and I. No, you're right, Josh. People are petrified of just speaking the truth because they've been trained via their schools, what I like to call the indoctrination centers. They're trained via their indoctrination centers. They're trained via the mainstream media. They're trained by Hollywood, what they can and what they can't say and what comes to pass if they happen to say it. A good example is American History X. You have this a great idea at the beginning of the film, not necessarily to kill a nigger and end up in prison. That's not a great idea, but what I'm saying is the great idea was fighting against the mass immigration when it comes to mass immigration taking over America or taking over Australia. But then by the end of the film, they've made you petrified to do such a thing because, well, those niggas, motherfucker, they may pop a cap in your ass. So you're left thinking at the end of it, holy crap, I don't want to go down that road. That's just the way they subconsciously program us. And again, when any of this is on the reverse, we're racists and we're supremacists, Josh. You know, you couldn't dare think of, okay, well, okay, so it's okay for you Black Panthers or you Black Lives Matter people start the groups that you do. But the moment I start a group saying, well, you know, White Lives Matter, oh, that's racist. That's not anti-Semitic. That comes down to the Jews, but that's white supremacism. Oh, it's just a joke.
Yeah, and it really reminds what you're saying reminds me of. I'll talk to my dad about some of these things. My dad is a cop, so you know I'd imagine he's pretty aware about most of the things that I talk about.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, you know, race, he always puts his foot around it, and I'm usually one, you know, bringing it up to him. And we were talking about, you know, the different groups that all these different races have, you know, like the NAACP, La Raza. And my dad goes, he's, you know, the Blue Lives Matter, you know, typical kosher conservative. He goes, you know, why isn't there any group for police? Like, this is how he starts the conversation. And I'm like, Dad, the real question is, why isn't there any group for white people out there? And then his mind instantly defaults to talking about the KKK and how, you know, that's the only type of white group that we ever really see represented. And to an extent, that's right. You know, that's the only, when we're taught about, white groups or white people or white movements.
Especially in the schools, yeah.
Exactly. We're always presented with, you know, the KKK, the Nazis, and all these other horrible people who have killed so many.
And people, by the way, Josh, that may never have actually killed those people outside of justification. We've been lied to about a lot of these groups in the first place. For instance, the Nazis. The Nazis, as far as I'm concerned, are not the evil they've been made out to be. So, no, you're absolutely right. We've got another caller there, Josh, so just hold on there. 205, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Andrew. I'm in Alabama. Hello, Sean.
Hi,
hello,
how you going, Andrew?
Josh.
Hello.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm very much enjoying the conversation. This is a slightly different topic, if I may introduce it.
Go ahead.
And that is, here in the United States, Sean, and particularly in the Deep South, it's college football time again. And what you basically have right now is this absolute worship of these Negro athletes by everybody. It's a great distraction from everything else that's going on. Josh, I don't know, are they as crazy in Kansas about football, college football, as they are here in the South?
I wouldn't say we're that crazy. I mean, I'm pretty antisocial. It's kind of hard to be social with a bunch of people who I know are brainwashed. But just from what I've observed, people aren't, you know, that crazy about it.
Yeah, I call it brain stained, actually, not brainwashed. Yeah. But anyway, it's a very serious problem here, and you know, people forget about everything else. I mean, Sean, I know people who marriages have broken up because of a college football game, friendships, people get in fights. I mean, physical fights and seriously hurt each other. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, kind of bread and circus thing that's a total distraction. And it's certainly destructive to the white psyche. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that.
Oh, absolutely. Andrew, David actually said that. Earlier on, it's a breads and circuses thing, sort of what was taking place during what we quote unquote called the Roman times. Absolutely, it's a distraction. In fact, I've got an article here, 10 Reasons Why Football is Dangerous to Society, which I want to get to so that we can all sit around as a round table and just comment accordingly. As Josh rightfully said, it doesn't just come down to football, but the propaganda runs deep into other things as well. But we can use this generically, if you will. When it comes to, this was written by Digger for Truth. And gentlemen, you'll be happy to know that we have the same moronic value over here in Australia. We've just had the footy finals, just last night. What happens is once you get to the finals, you get everybody turning up to the pubs, and clubs and everything like that. And I was walking down the street to buy myself a six pack of beer and come home and just kick back to that six pack and relax. And so help me God, all the pubs are full and everything. I don't go to the pubs to buy my alcohol, but as I was bypassing them, they were just full. And I walked into the bottle shop and I said to the young lad that's working there, I said, "Hey mate," I said, "where is everyone? Usually the bottle shop's full on a Saturday evening," because yesterday was Saturday for us. And he said, "Yeah, Sean, it's the footy." And I said, what do you mean it's the footy?" He said, "Well, it's the finals, you know, don't you watch television," sort of thing. I said, "No, I don't." I said, I wouldn't know when the finals are on or what. So obviously, when our footy celebrations are going on, your celebrations are going on as well, Andrew, except for a different reason. Yours are starting, ours are finishing, and everybody's got their pom-poms on. They've got all of that, the mess they wear with their colours, and they're walking down the street, and they're in the pubs drinking to celebrate who won, and oh, it was just unbelievably insane. I'm thinking, so you guys got all dressed up in these colours and everything. We've got another caller. We'll get to you in just a moment, 804. You guys got all dressed up and spent all of this cash, like a potload of cash, on booze and celebrations for men to run around a field going, "I got the ball! I want to kick the ball! Come and kick the ball with me!" And I'm thinking, what a bunch of retards. Absolute retards. It's a joke, but it seems like it's white Western civilized wide, because this is what's been put into us. 804, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Greetings, Sean. This is Chris Dorsey. Great show. And I just had to call in because it's such an important subject. You and the last caller in Alabama were talking about the psychosis and I've studied the subject a lot, and they basically replaced any sort of natural tribalism that's proper and effective with this sports-based tribalism.
Yeah.
And it's a real mess, and I can say amen to talking about being in the Deep South and watching, not where I am now, with the school down in South Carolina, and seeing literal fist fights and marriages and et cetera break up over a ridiculous football game. And I've seen this stuff firsthand as a Washington Redskins season ticket holder. And it says on the ticket, I just want to just get this last part in, and then I want to listen to y'all because it's just been a great show. It says on the back of the ticket, for entertainment purposes only, all the games are rigged and fixed. And we see this connecting with the race war psyops that they have going on in Charlotte, the home of the Black Panthers, who are playing the White Vikings, I think, this week. But they fix all these games for gambling purposes, of course, but also for forwarding narratives, and it's everywhere. And I'm a sports watcher, but I know they're all rigged. And I just want to thank y'all, and I'll listen up and pass it back to you, Sean. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Chris. Hey, listen, thanks for joining us, mate. By the way, I've been enjoying your program. And welcome to the network. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Dorsey is our latest network host that has just joined Renegade. So by all means, check out his show on the website, renegadebroadcasting.com. Chris, by all means, stick around and jump in whenever you want, because I'm going to be, we're about to come up to the second hour of the Renegade Roundtable. I'm going to be talking about the 10 reasons why football is dangerous to society, written by Digger for Truth, a gentleman that I've been conversing with, if you will, behind the scenes in via email. So I guess you could say writing to more so. And he's got a lot of great things to say over there at the Renegade Tribune. Also, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to become a part of the Renegade Tribune and become an author, Josh, you might even be interested in this yourself, given the fact that you've joined journalism classes. You can sign up and become an author, and if we deem it necessary to Renegade, your articles will go up on the Renegade Tribune. Ladies and gentlemen, renegadebroadcasting.com, the roundtable, the Renegade Roundtable, speaking with Josh, Andrew and Chris Dorsey, Chris being a new host of the network, so by all means, stay tuned, much more to come.
Being lied to. We're being exploited. We're being robbed. We're being poisoned. We're being led to the slaughter. The question is, what are we going to do about it? Sooner or later, we're going to have to rise up and free ourselves from this tyranny. Separate, we are weak, but together, we are stronger than you can imagine. Get to know your local community while you network with the world. The awakening has begun. We will not be stopped.
Yeah.
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Sound of white Western civilization. Not just when it comes to the music, ladies and gentlemen, but also when it comes to our callers here on the Renegade Roundtable, Josh, Andrew, and Chris Dorsey, all a part of white Western civilization, all here to be proud of it, all here to speak about it since, you know, it seems like outside of Renegade, you're not allowed to speak about this sort of stuff. It doesn't matter what network you go to or whether you're out there speaking on the street or you're speaking politically. The moment you start talking about any of this, well, you're a white supremacist, you're a racist and a hater. Absolutely unbelievable. Now, gentlemen, I want to get to this 10 reasons why football is dangerous to society, because it will show in a generic fashion just what other propaganda we're presented to. And we will hopefully comment accordingly. Now, if you want to join in, my fellow and madam audience, you can do so 747-222-8807, 747-222-8807. Give us a call, let us know what's on your mind, and comment accordingly with these 10 reasons why football is dangerous to society. If you happen to be Australian, 0881214481. That's 0881214481. We also have a chat room. If you're a little shy and you don't want to give us a call, you can get on over to renegadebroadcasting.com and click on the little chat room area. That's renegadebroadcasting.com. Click on the little chat room area. You'll be right there with some like-minded folk, myself, the host, and the gentleman hosts that are joining me right now, Josh, Andrew, and Chris Dorsey. So, although I don't know if Andrew and Chris are in the chat room, but I think you are, right, Josh?
Yes, I'm here. And if you don't mind me adding, you said like this is one of the only places that you can really talk about some of this stuff. As a matter of fact, this is the first time that I have ever talked to people who are like-minded. I've tried talking to people in real life, friends I've had on the internet for a while, and it ultimately results in as far as the internet goes, I completely distance myself from them because it just becomes too frustrating, and I don't want to sound defeatist or anything, but you know, just like a one-on-one conversation with somebody, you know, when I've read, you know, Rockwell's White Power, One Chief, One Vine, things like that, to get to the place where I am now, but it is so hard talking about this to anybody, even on the internet, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you would think, you know. Another good point, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you just joining us for the second hour, Josh is 17 and he's already switched onto this stuff, which is fantastic. You make a great point. You would think that because people are behind a screen, I mean, they show signs of it all the time, Josh, that when I'm behind a screen, I feel indestructible, so I'll just type whatever I want. But then when it comes to the real beef of a subject, when it comes to Judaism or something like that, they don't want to go near it. Well, hold on a second. If you're so protected by your screen and you act all high and mighty in different forums, why don't you want to act high and mighty and just speak the truth when it comes to what's going on with Judaism or the blacks or the spics and everything like that? Why? And this again shows.
Because,
go ahead.
There are just some, you know, taboos as far as you know, things that we talk about.
Yep.
That have just been so drilled into us in real life that they, you know, this sensitivity, like when we're talking about race, we're talking about Jews, it carries over in our subconscious. You know, it remains there always. Whenever it comes up, you know, we're almost programmed to think a certain way or to say a certain thing or to instantly turn our mind off. I know I was for a long time.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. This is about the indoctrination. When it's indoctrinated deep, if you will, people hold on to that for a long, long time. It's almost like it becomes a part of their DNA. Andrew, your thoughts? Or maybe Andrew's stepped away. Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, the analysis from both you, Sean, and Josh is right on. The analysis from Josh is amazing, and when considering that, you know, he's only a 17-year-old young man, that is, it's pretty mind-blowing. So I just wanted to state that, and I wanted to piggyback what you said about indoctrination into our DNA, and you know, I was, you know, just to tie this into the football conversation, the football, for Americans, it has become a religion. And I think that's and so is, you know, the public school system. So is, you know, popular music. They're all, you know, they're like mini cults. There's worship involved, and there's a doctrine, and there's dogma, and there's storylines. And I think that when folks, you know, think about things like that, like I know I was indoctrinated as a child to think that, you know, professional and college sports meant something and they mattered. And in many ways, when I used to think that way, I was much more successful financially and the larger society as a whole accepted my irrational views much more than they accept the rational views, or the more rational views, I should say, that I espouse now. And I find it just fits in with the larger narratives and to tie it up in a little bow, because sometimes I ramble. But it points to the fact that everything in society is an inversion. Everything that we're taught and is acceptable to think is important to fight over and to, you know, occupy one's time with is the exact wrong thing. And that sports, as I said before, is a way of taking our naturally good tribalism and perverting it or inverting it. And that's when, you know, I don't shy away from questions of, you know, saying to some people, yeah, this is Satanism, and saying to others, yeah, this is very manipulative sociopathy. It's all the same to me. But I'll pass it on to y'all. But I'm just fascinated by the subject, and I'm thankful to be on this program with y'all to discuss such important issues that never get discussed in a serious manner.
Absolutely, Chris. Absolutely. One of the things you said that fascinates me is that football has become a religion, which sort of says a lot about religion, doesn't it? If football can become such a worshipped, let's face it, deity, because this might sound a bit ridiculous, but hear me out. Did you know that the crocodile in itself is one of the most worshipped deities all around the world, including here in Australia? The crocodile is more worshipped per capita than Jesus himself all around the world. Now, when you get something such as a sport, whether it be soccer, football, gridiron, rugby, baseball or something like that, that is worshipped just as passionately as something like Jesus or a crocodile, you start to realize just how ridiculous religion really is. So it's so easy to rope people into the idea of worshipping something where men, grown men, no less, run around the field. I got the ball. Kick me the ball.
Chuck
it
here. What they're doing, they're playing a child's backyard game.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. They're playing a child's backyard game, and it's worth millions and millions of dollars. It's ridiculous. You know, what Chris said a moment ago is so perfectly true. He said, you know, that's how people occupy their time. He used that phrase. And that's exactly it. How much time is wasted with white people, what we could be doing?
Yeah.
And we're wasting so much time with these ridiculous activities and arguing with other people about them and getting drunk over them and all the rest of it. It's preposterous.
Absolutely preposterous.
How about this? I got the television on right now, and on the back in the background is a show about fantasy football, which means that all of these individuals they have a financial invested interest to know every aspect of every position of every NFL game, which is played on Sunday, the Lord's Day, where they bend over each other. It's nothing but a homosexual activity, and pass a pigskin around, which it says in my King James Bible, it says, hey, not only like don't eat a pig, don't even touch it. And the whole Sunday activity is now based around, passing a pigskin around.
Oh, you're not wrong.
It's really shocking.
You're absolutely not wrong, Chris. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. Just recently on the show, I spoke about how my stepbrother and I have to walk down the street to do our shopping each day. We're day by day shoppers, Chris. And what happens
is, me as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So what happens is we walk down and we have to go past a football oval. And when they're training at night, all you can hear is them like, making all this disgusting racket. And if you look across, even momentarily, one of them is patting another one on the bottom. As if to say, yes, good going. Oh, you kicked it through the goals. By the way, bend over. I need to pat you on the bottom a little bit more. It is such a homosexual way. Even though these guys, I know for a fact, aren't homosexual, they are indulging in homosexual activities. And this is because it's been ingrained.
Yeah, they say, stupid is as stupid does. I guess if they're not actually doing it, but yeah, the whole thing is they're being gay. Every play in American football starts with one dude bent over in front of another, and they have to place their hands right in the crotch. That's how I played football, when I was a younger tyke, and that's how you're taught how to do it. That's the proper way to do it.
That's actually got a name, Chris, when it comes to computer gaming. It's called teabagging, where you stand over the head of another person in first-person view. You stand over their head and squat down. It's called teabagging. It's the same thing we're seeing.
Sure.
Yeah, it's called teabagging. It's disgusting. It's absolutely gross. The teenagers use it especially.
It's pretty much the basis of football. Every play starts with that.
I know. We've got another caller.
And it ends with a group of men jumping on top of another.
It's disgusting. And I don't know, the funniest thing for me, caller 305, we'll get to in just a moment. The funniest thing for me is that people don't see it. They sit there in their cars here in Australia around the Oval on a rainy day, squinting through their windscreens just to see the ball bag of another man dangling in the face of another man. And I'm like, what is it that you don't see about this? This is homosexuality at its best. Oh, I just don't get it.
The perversion of our tribalism, too.
Yeah.
Every hometown has a team. Everybody wants to root for their hometown or root for it because they have some sort of connection and they have some sort of tribal connection. And it's just a perversion. And it's fun to go to football games. It's fun to drink beer. It's fun to, like, cook out and talk to your buddies and do all that other stuff. And it's perverted by all these other inane activities. When why don't you just do that every day instead of, another thing they take from us is money. I used to spend thousands of dollars going to NFL football games, and it disgusts me that I wasted my, my business acumen, giving it to Dan Snyder, the Jew owner of the Washington Redskins, who, used our city tax dollars here in Richmond to build at the taxpayer cost, training camp for them, which has just made everybody's life worse in the city. So it just sucks.
It sucks.
I'm rambling, but yeah, great subject.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does suck. We've got somebody else calling in from the 305 area. 305, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Ralph. I'm calling from Miami, Florida, and I just want to say to you guys that you guys are really doing, for lack of a better term, God's work or the creator's work, because there's really no other outlet that fuses race and the New World Order and all these topics into one, except for Renegade. And I've been listening to Renegade since about 2012. I remember when they had Greg on there, and he was talking about Dave Winfield and a baseball bat going up some German woman or something. So I've been with it since the infancy, and I've listened on and off over the years. And where it is, it's the strongest it's ever been, this network. You know, Sean, you do a great job, you know, weeding out the trolls and stuff. And Chris, I got to tell you, man, you're a guy that you're one of the keys to this network right now. You are a true find to this network. You're really talking about the Constitution, talking about the militia, real solutions. We don't have people on here saying that, oh, whites bombed people in the Middle East. No, that was Jewish-funded wars, my friend. I mean, whites were just pawns with that. But one thing, I wanted to address this to Chris about the Constitution. There are flaws in it. I mean, one of the flaws I think that's in it is the courts have way too much power. A perfect example of this was in 1994 when California passed, I don't know, it was Proposition 113 or Proposition 187, which limited illegal immigration into California. Pete Wilson signed it into law, and then the circuit court a few months later said, no, can't have that. So there are, even though the Constitution's the best thing that we have right now, I don't know if it's sufficient for today's world because of some of the errors that could be in it. I mean, I just wanted to hear Chris comment on that a little bit.
Chris?
Yeah, if that's cool, I can comment real quick on that because just right off, I agree. The courts are given too much power in the Constitution, and I prefer the Articles of Confederation, and I even prefer the Confederate Constitution. But you know, the Constitution for the United States, if it's enforced properly, you know, the courts would implode. None of the courts are operating constitutionally in any of your district courts, and especially your federal courts. And of course, you know, they sign things into law all the time, or they sign things into statute that are unlawful, I should say, all the time. They're constant. Any sort of law written to even minimize the process by which a man petitions the government for a license for a firearm is completely unlawful and completely treasonous. I guess what my point is that the Constitution demands common law trials, common law courts for every you know, legitimate trial in the United States, and none of them are operated under the Constitution. So of course, yeah, if you start from the point of the Constitution is disregarded on every angle, you're never going to get anywhere with it. And that's why we've got to talk about the enforcement of that, the dropping out of the system, the pointing out that these elections are 100% fraudulent, and that the people trained to arms, and we lay out the strategy for this, you know, we need to be in control of not only the weapons and the MRAPs and the militarized police, but also we need to be in control of those underground bases and the Eastern and Pacific fleets.
And control,
any other thing, when we give these our greatest leveraging points and our greatest property away, we're always going to lose.
You
so
also
I don't
need
want
to
agree to a game where the rules are I always lose.
You also need to be
so
in control.
I use the Constitution.
You also need to... No, it's fine, Chris. I'm talking over you because you stop and then there's a bit of a delay here. So I'm trying to sort of sink my way in. So I apologize. But you also need to be in control of your own constitution. That's for sure. One of the things I've noticed is that the government tries to take control of that. And I always thought that a well-armed militia, when it comes to the Second Amendment, has the right to deal with that sort of stuff. And the reason I know the Constitution so well, especially when it comes to the amendments over there in the United States, is because I've always found since a teenager when I was about 17 that the United States of America are white Western civilization's last stand. They are 300 plus million people that can stand up and say, enough's enough. Before we move on, we've got another caller.
If I may, Sean.
Go ahead.
May I say something?
Go ahead.
Regarding the Constitution. Yes. It doesn't matter, I don't agree with George W. Bush on many things, but he did say one thing that was more or less correct. He said that the Constitution is nothing but a dang piece of paper. And that's completely true if the founding stock of this country, if the people, of this country do not represent the founding stock.
Yes.
And do you see, if it's not white people, the Constitution is not really going to matter.
It's rendered useless. Exactly. It's rendered useless.
Oh.
All right, gentlemen, just one quick sec. Let's introduce this caller because we're being rude here. 410, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Clickstick.
Sorry, can you turn yourself up a little bit?
Yes, I'm Clickstick, East Coast.
I'm not quite catching your name.
Is this better? You can call me Al.
Al, okay, now you're much clearer. Al, welcome to the broadcast. You're from the East Coast. Have you got anything quickly to add to what we're saying here before we move on to this 10 reasons why football is dangerous to society?
Sure, and I absolutely agree about entertainment being nothing but a trap. But I just have three quick points. Racism, religion, and law. People talking about common law, like I'm interested, so I add that. Racism, I found that a lot with your chat room. Lots of people are very, they're racist basically across the board. They don't distinguish between, if somebody has Jewish blood but they've never read a book in their life, they've never heard of the Talmud or, the Zohar, which is what I think is being followed by those who are taking over, and they're like the parasites behind the Jewish religion. These are Sabbatean Frankists who worked with Weishaupt from the Illuminati, Rothschild, being one of these Sabbateans, supposedly. Rabbi Antelman says that. I'm not a big fan of these Rabbi Antelman, Barry Chomish, but they have some good possible paths to go down. And I know that the first Supreme Court justice also had a picture of Frank's daughter who took over for him. Just an interesting point, and I just wanted to point that out, that like people say, no. Okay, I'll move on. Religion. 666, the number that has this messianic potential that these rabbis say, I don't know about this Babylonian solar square magic. If you look this up, that's what the 666 is, that they nowadays say has this great messianic potential. And their holy serpent, which is the what they call the Messiah, the holy serpent. You look at Tex Mars, he talks about a lot of this stuff. He's compiled a good amount. Law, common law, I'm talking about Ken O'Keefe here. He's a good model, and he's bringing up some of these, what we, from Canada.
Well, he's not such a good model at the moment. He's really given himself a bad name, given that
have given him a bad name. People have given him a bad name, but what has he done that's bad?
Let's face it, he's spending other people's money, and he's not giving them an explanation at all.
He's trying to get the money, and I'm sure if he doesn't get the minimum amount required, that money will be...
Oh, he got the money. He got the money. He's buying a property with that money, it turns out.
You say so.
Sorry?
You say so.
No, it's not me that says so. There's some good sources out there. Like his previous counterpart, Graham Hart, was one of them, was actually talking about him.
That's
name?
That's what I was talking about.
Sorry?
Go ahead.
There was another one. What's his name? The Australian dude that hangs out with him. I always forget
Max
his name.
Egan.
Yeah, Egan. Max Egan that came out and actually said this is what he's been doing. Look, until he makes it clear that that's not what he's doing, of course people are going to be suspect.
Yeah. Well, he has made it clear that that's not what he's doing, but I guess...
He hasn't. No, he's provided no proof that that's not what he's doing. He said himself...
Okay.
That he said himself that when he actually comes out and proves that what he's saying is true, then that's when he can prove his innocence. But at the moment, he himself said he can't prove it just yet.
Well, Egan is... negative. It's impossible.
Sorry?
How are you going to prove a negative, right?
Yeah, well, no, there's many ways that he can prove that he wasn't.
Prove a negative in the future if he can't prove a negative at any point.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's the one that's saying it.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Al, I'm not going to go into that tangent at the moment. I'll tell you why. It's because I want to get to this article, and you're welcome to join us for this article, which is 10 Reasons Why Football is Dangerous to Society. I've put it off long enough, and we're already almost the last half hour. So this essay is specifically in reference to soccer, but many of these points can be applied to other sports. All these points are intrinsically linked, therefore many of them overlap. So, and it was just what Josh was saying here. We've got Josh on the line, a young lad that's aware of what's going on. He's only 17, which I'm really intrigued about, a young lad discussing these sorts of things. We're going to do this in order, gentlemen. What we're going to do is we're going to read off each of the points, reasons, and we'll do it in order. We're going to go Josh, we're going to go Chris, we're going to go Al, we're going to go Andrew and Ralph. At least that's the order that I've got in front of me. So, the first reason why football is dangerous to society, it is a kosher distraction technique, a distraction from the truth, what's really going on in our world, and to keep people away from levels of consciousness and spirituality. Now remember, spirituality does not mean religion. There's a big difference between the two. To use the expression, don't take your eye off the ball. These Judaic tyrants have written in their beloved protocols how they use entertainment and sports to distract us whilst they destroy us. Think of all the promotion this ridiculous activity gets. It's truly frightening. This is because it is totally unnatural and therefore has to be foisted on society, sold as normal healthy activity for us to participate in. One can't go into a pub. This is one of the most important points that Andrew and I were discussing, in fact. One can't go into a pub in Britain, and let's put in America and Australia now, without seeing this nonsense plastered across the widescreen TV. People become so engrossed in it as another distraction, a distractive addiction. Often in pubs, one can experience an almighty roar when the airbag is kicked between two metal posts into a net. It's insanity. Yet if you tried to share with these same people serious events which are happening in this world and inform them that they are being systematically destroyed by invaders, they wouldn't give a hoot. You wouldn't hear that collective roar. Let's start with you, Josh.
Everything you've said has made complete sense. In fact, I've been thinking about, you know, all these distractions in our lives without necessarily thinking about the football aspect. But going back to football in particular, it really is one of the, it is symbolic, you know, of just how much we've let ourselves become distracted in all these things. I mean, hundreds of millions or tens of millions of people, you know, tune into these football games every night or whenever they're on, you know, Sunday. I don't know the dates. I don't really care. But, you know, and being 17 years old, you know, I have, there's a lot of, you know, distractions that have been presented to me as alternatives. Mm. And one of those things is a lot of people can agree with me who are probably older than me, video games. I used to spend, you know, 8 hours a day playing video games, and it was disgusting. You know, I'd kill my sleep schedule. I would hurt my mind. I'd hurt my brain and my ability to function and reason.
Mm.
And I didn't really
hold
realize
that thought there,
it.
Josh. And, hold that thought there, sir. We're coming to a break, ladies and gentlemen. Talking with Josh at the present time about the distractions within society. We're also going to be talking with Chris Dorsey, Al, Andrew, and Ralph. I think that the order actually went Josh, Andrew, Chris, Ralph, then Al. So we'll try and do it in the best order we possibly can. We're reading from Digger for Truth, 10 Reasons Why Football is Dangerous to Society. We'll be right back. Not spent with you.
Greetings, Renegade listener. Have you been enjoying the show?
Well, then why don't you share it with your friends and family? Click on the show page and then find the social media links right under the description. Or send out a message to an email list. Get the word out however you can. Don't be afraid of letting other people know that you listen to Renegade Broadcasting. You'd be surprised how many of them agree with what we're saying here. With your help, we'll be destroying the mass media's narrative in no time at all. Let's wake up the world, one share at a time.
Renegade Roundtable, ladies and gentlemen, Renegade Roundtable. This is RenegadeBroadcasting.com. I'm your host, Sean. I'm talking with Josh, talking with Andrew, Chris Dorsey, Ralph, and Al, and we're going through the 10 reasons why football is dangerous to society here on this Renegade Roundtable. And Josh, you were making some points before the break. Please, by all means, continue those thoughts, sir, and we'll move on to Andrew.
Okay, and I'm sorry for deviating from, you know, the football topic, but when I look at my generation, I see something that's even more distracting.
It all relates, Josh. It all relates, mate. So by all means, by all means, deviate.
Mm-hmm. And I also mentioned that, you know, we're given, you know, all these different technological advances as if they're good things, you know, as if they're alternatives to gardening, to going outside and having fun and socializing, and we all just become so sucked up into it, you know. Like, and you know, a lot of people are blaming when it comes to the millennials. A lot of people are blaming, you know, the millennials for being so stupid. But I think it's really the parent generation that has really failed us to instill, you know, a sense of morality, and they've really also fallen prey to the idea that technological advances help us.
Let's be a little bit cautious here, Josh. Let's be a little bit cautious, and I'll tell you why. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I would say when it comes to the parents, we have to sort of move back to the baby boomer era. For instance, I miss out on being a baby boomer, thank goodness, because I think the baby boomer era was a big part of this. This is not to say that I'm not totally in error as a parent. I think I've made errors being a parent. I've got a 15-year-old and an 11-year-old. I think I've made some errors as a parent because of what was passed down to me via the baby mm-hmm. boomer era, if you will. But I'm correcting
been,
that as
it's
I go.
Certainly so, been a,
yeah, it depends on the
it's
era
been a very
of parent.
Gradual. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Please.
And I'm sorry. I didn't mean to accuse.
No.
Or accuse anybody.
No.
What
no,
I'm
saying, just putting
it,
that
it
out
is
there.
Really like it's the parent generation who's responsible, you know, and it does go back a long time. You know, these ideas do go back a very long time. The complete destruction of values and morality and things like that. But going back to distractions, you know, I see people, I'll be sitting in class, and of course everybody's got an iPad now because the school gives us the iPads, and everybody uses those iPads, and they just sit there and they play games all hour. Right. And,
yeah.
And I'll be sitting there and I'm one of the few, I don't even think anybody in my grade is, you know, aware of some of these things that are going on and the complete dismantlement of their society. But I'll be there and I'm like, why not read a book? Why not do all these other things? I'll be sitting there reading Mein Kampf and it's so funny seeing the teacher, you know, walk by and tell me to put the book away. And these kids are just sitting there playing video games, and the teacher has no problem with that. So our priorities have really changed.
Yes,
and,
they have. They have.
No,
you're absolutely right. It doesn't just come down to football. It comes down to this computer gaming era where people are playing. I'm not against entertainment per se. everybody wants to sit down and watch a movie, but a movie only goes for an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And then you get up and you start living life again. But when you're sitting there day in, day out, watching your footy over and over again and baseball over and over again, and it just never stops, or computer gaming all day. See, one of the shows that I'm going to be playing to my children, specifically on this one, Josh, is the one we're doing right here, because you're a good example of trying to say get away from the video games. My kids, they just want to play. And when I say let's go on a bicycle ride, you near on have to battle with them sometimes to get them out, and I shouldn't have to do that. These things are so addictive. Now, I'm all for a little bit of gaming, but when it's 8 hours a friggin' day that they want to do it, it's like, what the hell? You're a good example. Let's move on to Andrew here. Andrew, your thoughts on the first reason that football is dangerous to society?
Yes, well, first of all, I would like to say to Josh, you know, that's very impressive that you're sitting there in class reading Mein Kampf. That takes some real huevos, pal. I'm sure you get some persecution from that.
Oh, yeah, but, my dad, actually, he grills me on it, sorry.
You know, it is a great distraction, and again, what Josh said about, you know, adding video games to that, it's not just sports, it's video games, it's television in general also, people. It's television in general, and it is, you know, so it's those things, it's all those Jew things, you know.
Yeah.
So, and you know, when you're not out gardening, when you're not out, you know, observing nature, when you're not, reading, you know, really good books, really informative, decent books, inspiring books, when you're not, communicating with your people, you know, it's, there are plenty of distractions that are out there for us that keep us from being who we're supposed to be. So yeah, that's my answer to that. And sports is another very big one.
Absolutely. Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, that was the first one. I can't wait to hear the rest, but I do want to point out and piggyback on what Andrew just said. This is a Jew distraction, and definitely we're talking about football in England, football in Australia, and football in the United States. You'll look, and they're all owned by billionaires, and most of them are Jews. And that's one of my biggest regrets is that they take something that's, you know, people like myself are indoctrinated into loving, and it's a real powerful thing, you know, those crowd type environments. And when it's, when it's indoctrinated and, basically when you figure out it's just a way for Jews to shake down the goy, and that the games are all rigged, it starts being disconcerting, and then you start being able to dissect it. But that's all I have to say about that. I can't wait to hear the rest.
Yeah. Ralph, your thoughts?
Well, let me piggyback off of what Chris said. I'm sort of guilty of a similar thing, except I never really liked football because even as a small child, I just thought it was a bunch of groids chasing a ball. I didn't really have time for that. But I watched more baseball. And, you know, the team I'm guilty of rooting for in my childhood, and, you know, I'll watch them a little bit now from time to time. I'm guilty of that because I grew up with my great-grandfather in his living room watching the games is the New York Mets, which is a Jew-owned team that ripped off the taxpayers for Citi Field and the whole Bernie Madoff sort of scandal. I had season tickets to them. I'd sit up in the crowd. But it is just a giant distraction. And a bit more interesting fact about these games being rigged is also the symbolism you see, especially in baseball. If you look at the diamond, And the way the foul lines are shaped, that's the symbol of Freemasonry.
Oh, yeah.
There. So this comes in at a deeper level.
Oh, no, absolutely. Hello? The symbolism that goes on within sports, communications networks, movies, just your normal mainstream media. It's unbelievably in your face, but especially sports, especially Cub Scouts as well. I've noticed that the Cub Scouts down the road here, they've got this little hall, and it's got the Masonic owl and the fleur-de-lis plastered right there, huge, across the wall of the Cub Scout hall. These children have no idea. And now I'm going off on a bloody tangent. Josh, so you won't feel alone. I'm telling you, you have to deviate when we're discussing these things. The giant owl, the Masonic owl that's drawn on the side. I've got to get a photo of it. I think I sent a photo of it once to Kyle. And if I haven't, shame on me, but I took a photo of it. I've got to get a better one with my SLR and put it on Renegade, the Renegade Tribune, with an article there somewhere. Absolutely in your face, obvious, with this Masonic owl and the fleur-de-lis right there in your face. There's no way you can't deviate from this sort of thing. It's sports, it's TV, it's absolutely everything thrusted upon us. The symbolism, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, Ralph, because that's something important we need to understand as well.
Oh, and I just want to expand upon that a little bit. Just within baseball, I mean, even some of the names of the position players, you have pitcher and catcher. I mean, really? Come on. How perverted can it get? You have a ball and a bat. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then the way the way that the players are dressed with the uniform and with the cap, what's that supposed to symbolize? Like a condom? I mean, seriously. The way some of these players are dressed. I mean, if you really think about it, that's how deranged these people are running our societies. And it's not just in sports. It's obviously in the media. You see all this degeneracy with people going on MTV shows with strap-ons and, you know, men bending over to a strap-on and such nonsense like this. I mean, they planted the seeds with this sport, and this was a sport I grew up on. I wanted to be a professional baseball player. I played baseball in high school. I wasn't particularly good,
but
I aspired to be these things. And then you find out about this stuff, and it's a real eye-opener when you combine the occult symbolism and the knowledge of the international Jewish power grid with the Jesuits. I mean, it opens your mind.
Oh, it absolutely does. Look, I was a baseballer myself when I was young. Al, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, absolutely a distraction. I mean, talking about Jew things, quote-unquote, porn, I think, is a big, big Jew distraction.
Yes.
I gotta say that it's like the crowd environment that you were talking about with the football. It's sort of like simulated warfare, in my opinion, that everyone's got their own home team, and they go rah, rah, rah for this team, and then they're fighting that team, and everyone's, you know, so involved in it, and, you know, it takes up all this mental energy that they would have otherwise spent learning about Zionist Sabbatane, control of the media, you know, law, and 9/11, and all these things. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, gentlemen, listen, what happens is we've only passed through one of the 10 reasons. What would you all think about going for a third hour?
Definitely. I'm on board.
I'll do it.
All right, let me hook that up. Let me first get the second reason out of the way so that we can get the ball rolling, and then what I'll do is I'll set up a third hour for us to discuss. All right, so the second reason that football is dangerous to society, written by Digger for Truth here, is it is childish, ridiculous, and degrading. Think about it, he says. Grown men kicking a bag of air around a pitch for 90 minutes. How sad. Tell me that's not conditioning, mind control. You think you are so cool. You're not. You look stupid, talk stupid, and act stupid. With all your silly mascots and paraphernalia, grow up, guys. And look how serious people take it. When I listen to football managers talk when they are being interviewed, it's like they're discussing high-level politics. Absolutely. Like we're going into war or something equally serious, and when a footballer dies, the country almost goes into mourning. Oh, it's painful to observe. It's so sad to witness intelligent men degrade themselves by morphing into dumbed down morons whenever the programming of the match is being played. So again, gentlemen, that was reason number two. Literally, this is what it is. It's grown men kicking a bag of air around a pitch for 90 goddamn minutes, right? And they're all acting like a bunch of morons. Kick the ball to me! I'm the biggest man here! Pick the ball to me! Right? You know, what say you? Let's start, of course, with Josh. Go ahead, Josh.
Well, the biggest point that you brought up here, in my opinion, was that, you know, we're simplifying everything. Everything is becoming much more simple. You know, we no longer have to rely on our intellect, on our own knowledge, to solve all these problems, to understand certain things. I mean, I'm guilty of it too. I find myself, you know, having to pull out my calculator and do some simple math that I should be able to do in my head. And, football and sports really do oversimplify things. I know I wasn't conscious of it at the time, but when I was younger and I played sports, one of my biggest dislikes about it was just how simple everything was. Like track. You know, it's like, what's entertaining about this? And there's really no point to it. And there's so many different things and so many different purposes that we've just been neglecting. And we've prioritized sports and, you know, oversimplification over things that used to be much more important. I guess that's all I have to say about that.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, great points indeed. Gentlemen, I am setting up the third hour, so just bear with me. Let's move on now to Andrew. Andrew, your thoughts on how it's just a childish, ridiculous, and degrading thing to be grown men out kicking a bag of air in between two posts when it comes to why football is dangerous to society. Please, your thoughts.
Yes, it is. And I don't know if you noticed, Sean, I had to drop off for a moment there to do something.
Yes,
but,
sir.
So I came in, but thanks for reiterating the question. That's something that I said earlier. And yes, it is a child's backyard game, and grown men are doing it, and other grown men are sitting around, you know, jizzing to you know, watching these other dudes doing this stuff.
Yeah.
And some of it looks rather homosexual, like I think Chris and somebody else said. And it's just really ridiculous. It's pathetic. And people are, you know, spending so much money on this. And you know, a lot of these people, particularly the Negroes, they're violent thugs. They, you know, they're rapists. They're, you know, they're animal, torturers. You know, they do all kinds of, you know, they're just violent people. They do all kinds of things, criminal things. And, white parents teach, you know, their children to worship these thugs, and they teach their daughters to go to college to, you know, worship them and do God knows what with them. And, you know, it's a horrible situation. It's something that's indicative of our entire degraded society.
This is one of the things that grosses me out the most and angers me, given that I've got a young daughter, is that they try to make these black men throughout football games and everything like that, especially in the States I've noticed, which angers me to no end, given the fact that I find that America will be white Western civilization's last stand. I have a lot of faith in my American brothers and sisters. And it angers me to see how they try to make these black men the masculine rather than the white men, even though white men have been white Western warriors all throughout the ages when it comes to the Celtics, when it comes to the Norse, in general. When it comes to just the white Aryan races, they were brute warriors that looked after their own, but they make the blacks look like more masculine than the white man. So therefore, these young white girls end up in the arms of these black savages, and they either end up in one killed, two abused, or three, both of the above, throughout their lives. It's disgusting. I can't stand to see it. And the most important thing of all is that it ends up a race mixing, which degenerates the white Western culture and race. It angers me to no end to think of my daughter one day growing up. Of course, I'm sure she won't, because she has me there to educate her as to what is right from wrong. But even a 1% chance that she could end up growing up because of the exposure of this false forced diversity pushed upon her, ending up with some black man thinking that he's going to be her hero, or he's the masculine, even though us white men are masculine and we're there for our families, or at least us non-politically correct ones are. It disgusts me to think that she could end up that way. And the television, our communications networks, our bloody indoctrination centers, they're all pushing this on our young white Western females. Oh, it sickens me to no end. Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, Andrew. Any last thoughts before we move on over to Chris?
No, that's all I had to say on that point.
Okay, Chris, your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, I mean, this is such a fascinating subject, and I just want to say that not only is it difficult, if not mostly impossible, to find this kind of discussion on broadcast radio, it's difficult to find, even in my own household, anybody but my dog to talk about these subjects with, because,
yeah,
you know, nobody wishes to get in depth about what's going on. You know, Amanda, she knows that, you know, the football games are rigged, and she doesn't like to watch it, and she thinks it's stupid and all this other stuff, but she doesn't want to get in depth about it, because it's easy to disregard and say it's stupid while the majority of the population does not think so. And it's a real problem and issue. I mean, it is such an important issue, and I feel it deeply because I can associate with what everybody's saying about it at various degrees, because I can tell you right now, every time I've got a television on in the background and I'm flipping around, you know, the first 10 stations on my cable outlet, and it's all sports, and it's mostly football. And you know, also I can identify with what they're talking about in this article about the Barclays Premier League or English Premier League football, because that's on our television too now. And with what Ralph was saying, you know, this is ingrained in us. You know, this is amongst my first memories, sitting with my grandparents, my grandfathers, watching these sporting events as if it's some sort of, you know, it's almost virtually, in many cases, the only bonding experiences I really remember. And it's very sad about that. But, you know, I think that's the case for a lot of American men. I think a lot of, you know, Australian men. I think a lot of European men, and I think it's as I keep, you know, repeating, because I think it's important to repeat things that I'm just going to do because I think it's important. Is this is a inversion of our natural tribalism, and it perverts it. And we were saying, yeah, it promotes, you know, the non-European culture into the European nations. And what does it more than that? Well, maybe music and movies, but it's all part of the same industry, and this is entertainment industry, and they're all rigged. The original owners of the NFL, by and large, you know, a majority Jews, and by and large, what industry did they come out of? The gambling industry. So there you go. Founded in gambling, continued in gambling, and that's what, you know, seven times gambling on NFL games and every other sport, and make seven times any other revenue source, and that all other revenue sources combined, I should say, and that's including these billion-dollar television contracts, these outrageous ticket prices, all of the merchandising where folks are spending hundreds of dollars to wear the jersey of their heroes, seeing like 45-year-old men wearing the jerseys of 24-year-old, you know, grown adolescents. I mean, it's ridiculous. But yeah, I'll pass it on. I apologize for going too long, but it is. It's a great subject.
No, it's not. You're not going too long at all. That's why we've ordered the third hour. By the way, Kyle has let me know that we're all good to go for the third hour, gentlemen. So we are on for it, for those of you who wish to stick around. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Josh, we've got Andrew, we've got Chris Dorsey, we've got Ralph, and we've got Al. Let's move to Ralph now. Ralph, the second reason that football is dangerous to society, it is childish, ridiculous, and degrading. What say you, sir? Do we have you there, Ralph? Okay, we may not have Ralph. Al, do we have you there, sir?
Yep.
Go ahead, your thoughts.
I was thinking about, someone said sports, I think it might have been Josh, that it didn't have like any purpose or meaning. And, you know, I feel that now, that it's this gambling coliseum type of gig. But I look at sports as like martial arts, and that's like a form of meditation almost. It's bettering yourself. And like if you're running track, you're getting like, you know, you're beating your first time, you're just improving. So that I could see, but I feel like that's been taken away from us. And it's more like we see football stars as rappers, and they're just completely controlled. This we know. They're doing everything that they're handed to by the tall Israeli, which I can't remember which rapper had his track pulled for that line. Yeah, it's just it's crap, and they're breaking apart, like you said in point two, that it's also like going to war. They're breaking us into factions, and we're all fighting each other. The white team versus black team versus yellow team. Really, we all need to turn around and tackle these owners, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely. No, I agree. In fact, the next point actually gets into it creates separatism. Gentlemen, we're coming up to that third hour. You are listening to the Renegade Roundtable. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Sean. We're going into a third hour because we need more time to get through Digger for Truths. 10 reasons why football is dangerous to society. So stand by, and hopefully get something from this.
You're not always at your computer, but that doesn't mean you need to stop listening to Renegade Broadcasting. A good way to catch our shows while you're on the go is by finding us on TuneIn Radio. There is an app for your iPhone or Android, TuneIn.com. There are also plenty of other ways to access the 24/7 stream right on the homepage at RenegadeBroadcasting.com. And that first button underneath the player is a direct link to our page on TuneIn Radio. Please remember to follow us and share with your friends.
Thank you.
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Renegade Roundtable, ladies and gentlemen, this is brought to you live by RenegadeBroadcasting.com. Talking at the moment with Josh, we've got Andrew, we've also got Chris, and we've got Ralph, and Al has just taken a dive. Maybe he had to duck out. Since Al has taken leave, Ralph, we already got your take on the It Is Childish. So let's move on to number three, shall we? This is the third hour. We needed the third hour to be able to get through these 10 reasons why football is dangerous to society, written by Digger for Truth over there at the Renegade Tribune. Check out renegadetribune.com by all means. Actually, we might have Al calling back in right now. Do we have you there, Al?
Al's here.
Okay, there we go. We're moving on to number three. It creates separatism. Now, I think some of us gentlemen were actually talking about this earlier when it comes to how it's broken families up, like it breaks up marriages and things of that nature. So let's take a look at what Digger for Truth has had to say about this. I think this is often overlooked, he says. This force acting through the elite Jews is all about divide and rule. However, these divisions go to a very deep level. They divide us through age, color, nationality, religions, race, politically, sexually, and on it goes, plus subdivisions of these. So sport and teams are just another aspect of this diversiveness. In some parts of the world, politics and nationalism are intrinsically linked to what team someone is conditioned to support. We just have to take a look at political teams when it comes to that. Readers of Digger for Truth will know I see separatism as the root cause of all of our suffering. This force just does not want us to unite as one. That would be lethal for them. That would be its or their downfall. Game over. So they have to keep pushing this blues versus the reds diverse mindset. Let's start with you, Josh.
I've recently been looking into a man by the name of Huey Long. I know many of you probably know who he is. And he gave a really funny speech, and he kind of sums up this whole issue with this dialectic that we've gotten ourselves into. Well, that's been forced upon us by Jews. But he said one thing that I really like. The only difference between Democrats and Republicans is that one of them skins from the ankle up and the other from the ear down. And when you look at it, there are so many things in life, not just Republicans and Democrats. It's just the same exact thing, you know. It's two different means of coming to the same conclusion, you know. And many times that conclusion is nothing, just more conflict. But, yeah, I'm completely against this whole, you know, divide and conquer thing. Obviously, I know it might be hard for you guys to believe, but I started out as a liberal. And then I slowly, you know, morphed into the conservative. And then I realized that this whole debate between the two is really hurting us, and we're not really getting anything done. The real thing here that's not being argued by anybody is race, and that's what really connects us all. But yeah, a lot of these divisions really just distract us from the bigger issues, which is race and Jew versus Gentile.
Could I add to something there, actually, Josh? One of the things I've always said is that, you know, blacks and whites, and we've actually created a break between Sinead, McCarthy and myself on the network about this, that blacks and whites were always going to be divided because we're so different. That would just naturally happen. We would naturally sway and go to our different ways. If you take a look at blacks, they seem to congregate to their own. Whites seem to congregate to their own. It's only when we're being forced up each other's asses by this, what I call the forced diversity crew, liberals, in other words, the politically correct and all of the social justice warriors or the social justice pussies, as I like to put it, that we end up being forced up each other's butts and everything goes bad. However, what they've really been trying to do for a long time is not so much separate the blacks from the whites, because that will naturally happen. It's been about separating the whites from the whites. You've got whites on this side saying, oh, you don't like blacks. And then you've got whites on this saying, you don't like whites, you social justice warriors. So it's always been about separating the races from the races, especially when it comes to the whites. But we can even look at it as though they've tried to separate the blacks from the blacks. They've convinced the blacks that mating with the whites is a great thing, that becoming a part of white education and television and everything like that is a good thing, and it's totally broken up their black values as well. Whilst they should be over in Africa or South Africa being who they are, and we should be over here in Australia and America and England and Ireland, Scotland, all of those, Germany especially, doing what we're doing, we're all being pushed in together, and this does create a divide and conquer.
I had something I was going to say, but it completely slipped my mind. But I every single point you've mentioned so far, I completely agree with. And I'd also like to thank you for you and Kyle Hunt and everybody at Renegade for having one of the only true sources that, you know, people can actually come to get the real truth.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Josh, it's good to have you, mate, really. When we get younger people in here that are understanding what's going on, it's a huge tilt of the hat to us, because we know that we're on the right track and that, you know, you're going to be talking to young friends and you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. But we look, this is what the Jews do. The Jews literally say, get them while they're young and the possibilities are endless. But they have morbid means in that. So what we're going to do, I would hope, is we're going to get them while they're young and the possibilities are endless. But we're going to use peaceful means to do it as much as we possibly can until we're pushed into that corner. Once we're pushed into that corner, things might change. But in the meantime, we don't try to introduce porn to a society. We don't try to introduce violence to a society like the Jews do. What we're trying to do here is peaceably bring in a walk of life that we had once back in the 1940s, the 1950s, even beforehand, where we can reestablish a white Western civilization that stands for what's right, not what's for degenerate and everything like that, if you will. It's really great to have you here. Let's move on to Andrew on this. Number three, Andrew. Did we get yours? It creates separatism.
Yes, Sean. I'm going to give you kind of a general statement about this whole kind of thing, because I have to go in a moment.
Right.
But what I would, by the way, I'm really heartened by the fact that there are people like Josh out there, who is this young man who is intelligent and prescient as he is. That's very good to know. What I tell. What was that?
Yeah, Al, if you could just mute your phone when there's a bit of noise in the background there, mate, that would be great.
Okay. Yeah, what I would say, just generally speaking, is that when one talks to people about these issues, it would be good to say, look, if you're talking to, say, a huge football fan, which is the subject right now, or if you're talking to a real Bible-thumping, you know, believing Christian, or if you're talking to social justice warrior, feminist, or if you're talking, it doesn't matter who you're talking to, just a bedwetting liberal. If you say, look, if white people are diminished, if we are a very much a minority, if we lose, it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter if you're an anarchist. It doesn't matter if you're a constitutionalist. It doesn't matter what you believe.
You're gone.
Absolutely. You have to be a white nationalist first before any of these other things can exist. Because guess what, pal? They're not going to exist in a third world non-white society.
Exactly.
And so they're not. And you can be anything that you want to be in the kind of white societies that we have developed, you know, at this point. So I would encourage people to tell others of any stripe that, you know, if you don't believe that white people need to exist, nothing else is going to matter.
Forget about your cars, forget about your trains, forget about your planes, forget about all of those
things.
That's
right. That's true, too. Forget about electricity, Sean.
Forget
about plumbing. Forget about hot and cold water. Forget about it all. So, anyway, I've got to go. Great show, pal.
Hey, good to have you there, Andrew, as always.
All right.
Okay, Chris, your thoughts on the third? I think that Andrew made some really good points there. Let me just, in fact, before we get to you there, Chris, let me just say that, yeah, no televisions, no, that's probably a good thing, but no planes, no trains, no automobiles, okay? No technology whatsoever. In fact, all you have to do is to travel to Sudan, Darfur, and sit there and stare at a leaky mud hut. And you'll get a good idea as to what happens when a civilization, what they call a civilization, believe it or not, they call it a civilization, hasn't recreated the wheel just yet. You're going to be sitting there and you're going to be out there in the desert doing absolutely nothing. Just remember that, because white Western civilization has created all of this. Now, again, I'm not all for the toys and vices, the flashing lights and sound, but I will say this, that white Western civilization has created many great things and that have helped progress us as white people. So all of that would be gone. It would absolutely be gone if you want to walk the road of the Jew. You know, the Jew would have you believe that, you know, all of that stuff has to be, you know, has to be lost in the long run. Where are we? Where, Chris, on to your thoughts on the third reason why football is dangerous to society. It creates separatism.
Oh, yeah. There's just so many profound things. Everything that's being said is so profound. I agree with you, Sean, and Andrew were saying. This America, Australia, Europe, the way it's set up, the laws that we live under, the common law, our common law, they're intended to be a European nation. I don't wish any ill will on any group of people. You know, I will engage as others engage with me, the international organized Jewry is at war with Europeans, and I am directly in the macro and micro of that war, and I will engage them equally. But, you know, maintaining the European standards and the European majority in our countries is paramount, and it's key. And yeah, there will not be a constitution under any other on any other circumstances. And I do want to just go back to one key point when someone was asking, you know, a question about the courts having too much power. Yeah, that's true. We have a court full of Roman Papist Catholics and Jews. That's who's in in our Supreme Court, and so they're all answerable to a foreign source. But when getting into the separatist thing, I just start, you know, I see all of these things flashing in my head because I've always got the television on, you know, and it's usually on CNN just to see breaking news, you know, while I'm doing other stuff because it's, you know, that's the number one distracting tool. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm hearing you, Sean, say, oh, this, even this system that the Jews have the blacks in, it's not benefiting them. And I've got in the background this Arkansas versus Texas A&M game. Right as you're saying it, it's showing this black football player who's writhing in pain on the ground as he's colliding with, you know, with each other. They're playing this like extremely violent game that's, you know, completely pointless. And
yeah.
Then the references to the red versus the blue. And of course, today in the Barclays Premier League, that's Chelsea versus Arsenal. And then when you talk about baseball, American baseball, it's Red Sox versus Yankees, red versus blue, or Redskins versus Cowboys, red versus blue. And what are those? Those are the Illuminati colors. Yeah, it's these lesser magic Judeo mind control tactics, and it's all based back to usury. This extortion through money is a major driving force, and the rest, you know, everyone else can be bought by this money, you know, that they've generated through these ridiculous rituals.
Yeah.
And you'll see that that's what these things are. These games are rituals. These matches are rituals. But yeah, that's what I got on that one, for sure.
Okay, let's move on to Ralph. Great comments there, Chris. Ralph, the number three reason why football is dangerous to society, it creates separatism.
Oh, it definitely does. But one thing we all have to remember is that there are two separate sides. It's Jews against all Gentiles. Now, does that mean we got to hold hands with these other groups and help them rebuild their societies? No. But at this point, we're facing white genocide. But you have to remember, in the Crusades, the Arabs were facing genocide.
Yeah.
When the colonialists with Jewish money were being sent over here, the Native Americans, say what you will about their culture, they face genocide. So at any point when they feel a group is a specific threat to their power, they will weaponize another group against them. So Jews, they hate all of us, whether you're black, you're white, you're a mestizo, you're an Asiatic. They hate all of us, and this is the one thing we have to get all Gentiles on board with, that these people do not belong in our societies. These people think it's okay for a grown 50-year-old man with a beard to suck baby dick, when
yeah.
In a rational society, somebody would put out a gun and do justice to them. These people don't belong in our societies, and I'm sick of seeing them promoted. And
they're not even people, you know, and I'm not calling you out here, Ralph. I think you're absolutely right in everything you're saying. They're not even people, though. They're creatures. It could only be a creature that says it's okay to suck a baby's penis and call it, oh, well, this is just a natural ritual that we do. Oh, what a load of horseshit. It's disgusting. They're creatures. Here's the thing. You're absolutely right. It should never have come to a point where Arabs felt the need to come over here, but they feel the need to come over here, many of them at least, because they're being bombed in their own fucking countries. There should never have been a need for Arabs to come over here just because they think, oh, well, I'll find a better way of life in Australia, as they so often do over here. There should never have been any of that. They should have been kept to their ways of life. We should have been kept to our white ways of life all around Europe, Australia. Everybody, the black African Americans were brought across as slaves by the fucking Jews themselves. They should never have had any doubt put in their mind. They should have been left to their own country to do what they were, whether it be brutal or nice. I don't give a shit, as long as they're in their own countries. Here's the thing. The Jew has basically taken all of these different countries, the Arabic countries, the South African countries, the white countries, European countries, and just basically thrown them into dismay by mixing them through this forced diversity. It's disgusting. Every one of them should be in their own countries to do what they want, when they want to do it, not in each other's. Now we're left with a big fucking mess where we're seeing young white girls of 18, 19, 20 to 22 getting raped over there in Germany because the Jews think it's okay, like Angela Merkel, think it's okay to be inviting the third world muds into their country. What the fuck did they think was going to happen? Given that white women, whether they like to think so or not, are superior compared to their own black women. Of course they're going to come across here and take what they want and then think, oh, let's rape those good-looking white women. This is what takes place when we're all foisted upon each other. Let them do what they do in their Arabic countries, with their own Arabic people. I don't give a shit. Don't bring them over here, though. We don't need them. Oh, it's a joke. A fucking joke.
Exactly. And the sad part is about all the people that are being sent over here, they are sending the worst of their society. I mean, they're sending over the worst Muslims. They send over the worst mestizos. They're not going to send their scientists. They're not going to send their doctors.
Exactly.
They're not going to send their astrophysicists. They're going to send their hoodlums here. And that can't be allowed. Even if you were to have, let's say, a multicultural state, hypothetically, that without Jews in it, you couldn't send the worst of the worst in any nation, whether it's a racially separatist nation or some sort of multicultural city-state. I don't endorse that, but there are going to be people that want to mix, and, you know, if they can make a go of it themselves without any sort of coerced finance from us, I don't mind them having their own go. But yeah, let us have our own goal. Freedom of association for everybody.
Oh, for sure. And let's not forget, too, that there's no doubt that we have learned other sciences from other walks of life. This doesn't mean that they have to live here. This doesn't mean that we have to be mating with each other. They can, like, for instance, one of the common examples I've used, and we'll get to you in just a moment, Al, I don't mean to ignore you, but one of the common examples I've used is this. I am not for multiracialism, but I'm okay with multiculturalism. I'll tell you why. Because we're not going to adopt a culture in a way where we have to breed, but multiracialism is what breeds. Multiculturalism is just sharing sciences. It's sharing recipes. For instance, I like Chinese food. Do I need to be mating with the Chinese or have Chinese live over here to have Chinese recipes? Absolutely not. I can cook the Chinese food after a Chinese person teaches me and then goes back to his own country, and then I can eat Chinese food. That's multiculturalism. Multiracialism is when you're having people come over and live in your country and breed with your country people and everything like that. They're two totally different things. A lot of people, I think, get these confused. There's nothing wrong with multiculturalism as much as what there is multiracialism. We don't need the people. We don't need the race over here to be multicultural. For instance, one of the coffees I drink is Arabic. One of the coffees I drink is Italian. Now, Italians, of course, are part of white Western civilization, so I don't want to cause any confusion, but let's use the Arabic coffee for example. Yes, I enjoy the Arabic coffee, but do I need the Arab over here mating with my white Western women to enjoy the coffee? Absolutely not. You know, this is something that we need to keep perspective. We need to understand that yes, we can share sciences between the different races. We can share culture between the different races, but we don't need to be mixing and drowning out our bloodlines, our Aryan bloodlines, to do so.
Agreed.
Al, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I agree about the division with color. That this is a problem. I have a slightly different view, of course. I see that we can have pride in our heritage without hating on others. And as was said, it's not just the whites that are threatened.
We're not talking about hating here, but we're not talking about hating here, Al. We're saying, you see, I don't need to hate an Arabic person to say that he needs to be in his country mating with his own people.
Well, I got to say, I've heard a lot of hate from people talking about the blacks. I mean, you're sounding like Netanyahu over there, not you in particular, but just this is just, you know, beyond even already. this is what Herzl said. This is what the Zionist Sabbateans want. Herzl said, anti-Semites will become our surest friends, and friends, don't let it happen. That's all I got to say. I'm signing off. Look into Sabbateanism.
Okay, or, no worries.
You think Talmudism was bad? It ain't nothing. Take care, brothers.
Okay, yeah, no worries. Yeah, I would have to say that I disagree with that. And I'll tell you why. It's because I don't hate on anybody. I haven't hated any black people. I've disrespected entirely what they stand for when it comes to what they do in our white neighborhoods and how they actually want us to go bye-bye. I mean, the Abbos are a good example over here. The Abbos try their best to say that white people need to be gone. Oh, you need to get off our land. You need to stay away from us because you took over our land. And then we say, all right, no worries. We'll take our trains, we'll take our planes, we'll take our automobiles, we'll take everything when it comes to the fact that we've given you everything we possibly can as white Western people. I mean, we could have finished you off when we came across here, but we didn't. We allowed you to live and we've built this metropolis for you, but they still bite the hand that feeds. So I totally agree. Disagree with what Al was saying there, by all means. It's the typical apologetic ideal. Oh, well, you know, we've got to apologize, because white men and women came across here and slaughtered the Aboriginals. Number one, that history was wrong, as we've very much found, not just from us alternative thinkers, but people like Andrew Bolt, that is of the Fabian and Fifth Columnist mentality, that said there was no such thing as the stolen generation. I can show you why. And again, he was of the Fabian Fifth mentality. So sick to death of hearing people be apologetic for the bloody Indians, the Abbos. These people didn't understand culture. They didn't understand race. All they understood was battling between each other, slaughtering each other's tribes before whites came here. And the Indonesian politicians, as the Maui politicians quite often said, they're lucky that it was the Bretonians, if you will, the English, that came over liberate Australia, because, or create Australia, let's put it that way, Terran Australis at the time, because if it had have been us, the Indonesians, or the Maoris, we would have fucking wiped them out, because they're a bunch of fucking savages. Al can liken us to the Talmudic crew as much as he wants, but we've never done anything out of hate. And if anything, we sustained their lifestyle. They're still alive because of white Western civilization. Me, you know, I would have done things differently. Not out of hate, but because out of love. Because out of the love of my white Western culture, for sure. Oh, my God. You know, there's a good reason that I would have gotten rid of them when I first come over here, for sure. I'm with the Indonesians and the bloody Maoris on that one. Josh, your thoughts?
It makes a lot of sense. You know, there is a lot of, you know, false history out there. Like, I know you're talking about, you know, how the whites didn't just come and slaughter the Aborigines and take their land or whatever in Australia. The same thing goes for the Native Americans here in America. You know, they were slaughtering each other long before we were here. They didn't really care about race or anything else. It was just complete slaughter.
Hold the thoughts there, Josh. We're just coming up to a break. Ladies and gentlemen, the Renegade Roundtable. This is RenegadeBroadcasting.com. We'll be back to take more of Josh's thoughts. We'll talk to Ralph and also Chris Dorsey.
Yes, it is a beautiful day in the island of the dead. Welcome, friends. Allow me to guide you through the jungle. It will eat your soul. I will cast my spell on you. You will give me all of your white women. It is a beautiful day down here in the island of the dead.
All right, very nice. So you're going to book us on this holiday then, mate?
Renegade Roundtable, ladies and gentlemen, the final half hour of the Renegade Roundtable. You can call in 747-222-8807. That's 747-222-8807. If you happen to be an Australian, you can call in at 088-121-4481. 088-121-4481. Now, we were talking with Josh before the break there, and he was giving his ideas on what... Al and I had to say. Josh, please continue.
All right. And one of the other points you brought up was, you know, there are some Aborigines who are complaining, like, oh, get off our land. This doesn't belong to you, you white imperialist, you know, cunt. It's the same thing with this, you know, La Raza group in the United States. It's like, if you want your Mexico back, let's just first, you know, burn all these cities to the ground and we'll give it back to you just the way it was when you had it. It's completely silly. And then you have these, you know, these blacks going around, you know, bitching about cultural appropriation. It's like, why are you speaking my language? Why are you wearing the clothes that are, you know, products of white capitalism and white civilization and all these different things? It blows my mind. Like, why are you here in a college? Why are you here?
Why are you wearing clothes?
White civilization.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One of the things he said was that, you know, you're sort of sounding like Netanyahu. And one of the things I've got to say is Netanyahu says that, you know, his Jewish people are supremacists because they're supreme, all right? And he doesn't say it outright, but we know that's what he's thinking. I'm not against a race of people thinking they're supreme because there are superiorities versus inferiorities. There's no doubt about it. People can... That can sting people as much as it likes, but it's a fact. There are, for instance, the reason people over there in Sudan Darfur are living in leaky mud huts is because they still can't recreate the wheel. Now, here's the difference. One of the things he was saying was, okay, you're the same as Bendover Netanyahu. I call him Bendover Netanyahu. I think it's great, right? Here's the thing. Bendover Netanyahu says, well, because we're superior, we can take over the world. We as white people aren't trying to take over the world. We're trying to say, yes, we are superior compared to that of the, the races over there in Sudan Darfur. But we don't want to take over their country. We don't want to steal their country away from them. What we're trying to say is that they are obviously inferior to us. They should be in their country. We should be in ours. Which is Netanyahu is saying we are superior. We are God's chosen. So therefore we should rule over the world. That's the big fucking difference. See, white Western civilization has stuck together for one good reason. Because we get along. Us Europeans that have descended to Australia... Right? For instance, I'm of Irish descent. There's people here of Scottish descent. There's people here of Italian descent and Greek descent. We've helped create this white Western civilization. And we will stick together over all of the different European countries. Over there in Germany, white German people should be sticking together with the Australian people. The Australian white people should be sticking together with the American white people, so on and so forth. And those that are of, and I hate to say it, but third world mud value should be sticking to their own. We don't want to wipe them out. We don't want them to get gone so that we can take over the world. What we want them to do is go back to their own country and better it for themselves so that we can stick to our white countries and better it for ourselves. That's the big difference. Benjamin Netanyahu has morbid ideas. He has plans to wipe out the entire world, including whites, by the way, entire world to benefit his so-called bullshit chosen people. We do not. All we're saying is leave us white Western Europeans to ourselves, us white Aryans to ourselves, and you go and do whatever it is you have to do over in your side of the world, should you be a mud person or a person that lives in a leaky mud hut. That's the difference. We don't want them wiped out. We want them in their own fucking countries. Let's move over to Chris here. Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with what you're saying. And I also want to address something else. He was acting as if that we on this call or, you know, on this program were unaware and did not address the issue of Talmudic Sabbatean Frankist or Sabbatean Frankism in relation to the, you know, Jewish organized world government. And I think that can't be further from the truth myself. And I've heard numerous other hosts on this radio network address, you know, Sabbateanism. And it's ridiculous to compare what we're talking about with what modern day Zionism or what's forward in the Protocols of Zion or Theodore Herzl or anyone associated with that, because again, we're not, you know, the European people are, it's not like we're even with these guys. These guys are using all of their guile and all of their, you know, dark magic and natural deceptive nature to destroy us. And they don't have any good intentions for anyone else. And this is the concept right here. And it would be best for all the rest of the people of the world. And this is where I agree with I forgot his name. Was it Al that was saying that we were talking like Theodore Herzl or Netanyahu?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I agree with him in saying, yeah, hey, you got to choose a side, and you all others rather than the Europeans that are, you know, that must be in control of the United States. That was the intention. The United States would cease to exist because the basis of the United States, the only thing the United States government is the United States Constitution, which is based in the common law, which is a law in Australia, it's a law in Scotland, it's a law in Ireland, it's a law, well, all in the United Kingdom, and Canada, of course, too.
Oh, I believe that. I believe that too, Chris. I absolutely believe that we have to choose a side. There was a movie I actually watched, and we're going to have to rush through the last thoughts of these 10 reasons, because we're running out of time, but I absolutely agree. Yeah. There was an Irish film that I watched with Mickey Rourke and Liam Neeson. And one of the things that Mickey Rourke said, because he was a part of the IRA and he killed a lot of people. In fact, he killed children accidentally as the character. And one of the things he said was, you know what? We're all a part of one side. We all choose one side. And that side we're dedicated to for whatever reason we think at the time. Now, I agree with him to the point where, yes, we have to choose a side, but we should choose that side for the right reasons. Benjamin Netanyahu does not choose the side for the right reasons. All he thinks is that, oh, well, we're the chosen people, so we should be able to kill, maim, and rape. Which is, we say, all right, we're choosing this side to better mankind so that there is no killing, raping, and maiming. Not because we don't think we're any less, we think we're sometimes better than. But that doesn't mean we should kill, maim, and rape.
Yeah, because then we wouldn't be better then.
Exactly.
We would be worse.
We would be much worse.
That's the thing to strive for. Yeah, sorry. But
no,
I
no,
agree.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, let's get through these last thoughts, shall we? We've got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, of course. Let's do it real quick as possible because we've only got 20 minutes. This is number 4, another a money spinner for the Jews. Think how much these top players are making and then think how much the managers, team owners, and associated outlets are making. Apart from being sinful, it's making members of this tribe filthy rich whilst they distract us, whilst other tribe members destroy us. You just couldn't make it up. I won't read the rest of number 4. Let's start with you, Josh.
Well, I don't have much to say about this. It's pretty common knowledge that, you know, the reason most people function nowadays is money. And you know, their new god has become money. Their new creator has become money. And it gives them, you know, luxury. It gives them all these things that they think are great. But in reality, it's fooling us. It is tearing us apart.
Absolutely. Chris. And then we'll get Ralph.
Yeah. Yeah. Just pretty much, amen to that. And it's all based in money. And this is just a money operation. I don't have much to add. What we didn't say, look at the gambling revenues. Look at how much those jerseys of these, overpaid millionaires working for billionaire Jews are making. Look at the billions of dollars worth of television contracts. And when you take it worldwide, it's trillions. So that's all I've got on that.
Okay,
right,
Ralph, your thoughts, mate.
Chris took my point. I was going to say two words, cable TV. If you're the little old lady that has cable, she's paying for the NFL, whether she watches it or not.
There we go. Absolutely good point. Now, number 5, it reinforces the illusion that competition is good for us. Now, I don't know about this one, gentlemen. This one might take us a while, but let's try and do it as quickly as possible. This is another part of our conditioning and repeater mindset that competition is healthy for us. It's not. It's unnatural and degrading. Self-development is healthy for us as individuals and society, improving and enhancing each person's character and natural traits for the benefit for one's community is exactly how we maintain our health, a healthy society. Competition just breeds selfishness and egotistical traits, exactly what this evil force needs for self-destructive society. Now, I'm a little bit on the edge with this one. I'll tell you why. It's because I believe that what George Carlin said was correct when he said, everybody these days is the last winner. They don't want us to get a little bit further or push ourselves. So little Johnny that works his ass off to get to the top, but then you've got a little black Billy at the back there that says, oh, well, I didn't win because I didn't do that mathematical equation quite well as well as little Johnny. Why do I have to lose? So then they say, oh, but don't worry, you're the last winner. We'll just sort of lower the step ladder for you. On the same token, it seems like Digger is saying that as an individual to just improve yourself against your own competition rather than outside competition could be a good thing. So again, I'm a little on the edge of this. Yes, I want to improve myself, but on the same token, I'm not against improving myself against somebody else because it pushes me that little harder. Josh.
This reminds me of the free market. I think Rockwell says it best. I believe in competition. You know, I believe that, you know, the hottest of fires make the strongest of metals. But the problem is you can't have, you know, like we have today, these Jew bankers that are just completely, you know, squeezing us. Like there's got to be something there to really stop that. Now, I do believe in competition and I do believe that we should all develop ourselves for the benefit of more than just ourselves.
Yeah.
For benefiting the greater good, which is our community, which is our race.
Well, our race definitely, Chris.
Yeah, I these things keep you know, hitting home. I think the competition the win by all costs kind of competition that might be referenced in this part of the reasons why football is bad. I think maybe that's what's being referenced, and I couldn't disagree more. I think cooperation is in many cases better than competition. But yeah, competition is not necessarily by its nature bad. I think we're naturally competitive, but when it goes too far, absolutely, it can be one of the worst things.
Everything in moderation. Yeah, no, good point. Good point. Ralph, your thoughts?
Competition generally, I don't think is a bad thing. If anything, it shows assertiveness and leadership. And if we're going to get ourselves out of the struggle, those are two elements that men need. They need to be assertive and they need to lead.
All right, let's move to number six very quickly. Energy drainer. This force is constantly feeding off our energy in every aspect it can. When we have high points such as festivals, parades, global events, celebrations. Likewise, there are major sporting events, especially these big bowl events and major football arenas full of people putting their intense energy into winning is where these energy vampires feed off. I understand this area I understand this area may be too quirky for most people, and I accept to an extent this is very subjective, but is worth considering. I would agree with that, and I'd also go one further. The energy spent standing there at the MCG. The MCG is the Melbourne Cricket Ground here in Australia. I went just once to watch the cricket. The energy spent on drinking alcohol that automatically saps energy from you and standing there going, "Rah!" every time, you know, there's some runs made or there's a goal kicked when it comes to football in itself that could be spent on sitting here having constructive conversation about these sorts of things. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. Josh.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. What it really does is it takes us away from these conversations. It takes us away from thinking about things that actually matter. And that's all I'm going to say.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I agree with what you and Josh were saying, but I also know the energy that's created by, you know, think about it. It's the intense energy all focused on one thing, and it's 80,000 people or 50,000 or 30,000 or even 1,000 people. The energy is contagious, and it does suck it out of you. It makes you spend your time, you know, putting your wishes and your hopes into something that at the end of the day doesn't really matter. And I've become immune to it, and I find myself slipping back, you know, when I'll have I prefer watching baseball to anything else. But again, I know it's rigged. I don't care about it. I used to. But when I find myself slipping back to giving any sort of thought or care or energy, any of my, like, energy as if they're talking about there, I think it doesn't matter at all. What happens to this? It has no effect on my life whatsoever. Just watching the television now, you'd never know it. These folks, they've all spent so much money, painted their faces, bought all the gear, and their life depends and their happiness depends on what's the outcome of this, you know, rigged event. So that's what I got on that.
Absolutely. Ralph, your thoughts?
My thoughts is, even if you go outside the stadium and you go to just a sports bar or a gathering at someone's house, most of the people are out of shape and haven't played sports in years. And it's pretty pathetic. And
what a great point. What an excellent point. Go ahead. Yeah. Where here's these people that are going to watch a sport that are athletically so-called perfect, but the people watching it are fat-ass friggin' idiots that are eating jelly donuts. Go ahead, Ralph. Great point.
Oh yeah, they're balding, they're fat, they smell. It's horrendous, and it's quite sad. And as far as these playoff games, those are the most rigged games of all. I would say about 70% are rigged. The only reason I don't believe they're all rigged is because I believe in the adage, there's truth in the lie, but 70%, that's a high percentage in my book. And, you know, I just got to figure out how it's rigged so I could place some bets and win a little bit of money to have a little bit of a cushion, you know?
Absolutely. All right, let's get on to the next one. We have number 7, usurps vibrant males. Throughout history, in all cultures, it is the young male who has gone into battle, fought for their tribe, culture, country, and families. Let me sort of deepen that a little. Our women and children, we fight for our culture, country, and women and children. It has been the vibrant male who has been responsible for defending its heritage and future, yet all that potential has been zapped, distracted into this silly game. The elite Jews are well aware they have to target and divert this potential energy away from defending their families and country. Football is a targeted market specifically for young males because they are the most potential threat to these parasitic Jews. I would go further than saying elite Jews, gentlemen. I would say Jews through and through. I think we're being fooled by a lot of them. Josh, your thoughts?
I didn't really pay attention to that. I'm sorry. Could you rephrase that?
Okay, I'll give you the heading, and you can use your imagination because we're running out of time. It usurps vibrant males. So where males, vibrant males were once our garters of our families, our white Western women and children, now our energy is being taken away to other silly games like this instead of guarding our families and fighting against the Jew. Go ahead.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But the thing is now, you know, if you do want to be a warrior and you do want to fight for your country, you're going to be fighting a Jew war, you know? So,
and I think that's the war we're fighting. I think that's the war we're fighting. I think that's the war we're fighting, Josh. Just you being here right now, Ralph and Chris. We're fighting the Jew war. We're getting the information out there. People are going to listen to this and they're going to go, you know what? They're absolutely right. I'm seeing the symptoms. I don't want to accept it yet, but I'm seeing the symptoms. Even just getting people to see the symptoms is a bloody good thing. Chris, your thoughts on... Go ahead.
Yeah, just real quick piggybacking on Josh and on this topic of, you know, usurping tribalism. And the natural, you know, affinity of young men who are caught up in this sports racket in one way or another of, you know, keeping them from defending what's worth defending, instead playing the stupid game, that Josh brought up militarism. And if anyone does want to be a righteous warrior, they can't be in this country, not legally, because if you do, you're only fighting and being cannon fodder for the enemy. And I want to point out that one of the most nauseating aspects of sports is the promotion of warfare, the promotion of the military, and the NFL is probably tops for this, but Major League Baseball, the basketball games, but especially in Washington, D.C., for the Washington Redskins football games, there's always military flyovers. Every commercial break is brought to you by a branch of the military or a military contractor, and that's a key point. It all fits in together, but that's what I got on this. And, great point.
The military-industrial complex, ahead. Absolutely. Ralph, your thoughts?
I don't have any thoughts on this. I just, I generally agree with what everyone said.
Oh, there we go. All right. Number 8. I know some readers, what is it? Inverts sexuality. I agree with this one, by the way, gentlemen. I know some readers are going to find this a bit far off, but just look at the homoerotic behavior of this activity, and I think we all agree with this because, Chris, you and I were discussing this earlier where they act homosexual. Men intensely hugging each other in front of millions, even kissing and bonding in passionate embraces, which ordinarily would be seen as very sexual. I won't read any more of that because we've got two more to get through. Chris, your thoughts? We were talking about this earlier about how they pat each other on the ass and everything like that.
Yeah, it's real gay. I can't add anything more. It's a shame.
It really is, Josh.
I agree. It's just the motions and everything that you guys are talking about. I didn't really think about it before, but it is, very degrading the way that these sports are played and shoving your hand under somebody's crotch. It's kind of fucking stupid.
It really is. Couldn't have put it better myself. Ralph.
And in baseball, they take it a step further. They have something called the Ambassador of Inclusion named Bill Dean. He was the first gay baseball player to come out, and he goes to the clubhouses and promotes his LGBT nonsense. And then the high five, that also came from a gay guy named Glenn Burke who died of AIDS. And you know who his best friend was? Dusty Baker, manager of the Washington Nationals. Small world, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go figure. All right, gentlemen, we've only got about 1 minute, roughly. It gives a false sense of tribalism. Men are naturally tribal. This is directly linked to... And I think we've discussed this pretty much throughout the broadcast. So let's skip down to number 10. We've done pretty good on number 9. It is offensive to all the people around the world who are suffering. The energy, the money, the driving forces behind this ridiculous game is an insult to our brothers and sisters who are in desperate need of our help around the world. Millions of people can hardly survive on every level, and this silly, silly men... It's so true. Gentlemen, very quickly, Josh, we've got a society that puts more money into football than it does homelessness. And I'm not talking about the homelessness that is deliberate where somebody's homeless because they're a lazy fuck. I'm talking about somebody who's homeless because they're mentally deranged or something. More money goes into football than what it does this. Josh.
You know you're living in a fucked up time or a fucked up place. When the majority of people, they can name, half of every football team, but they haven't got a clue what's going on in their own country. They haven't got a clue about, all these things that really possess power in their lives and other people's lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chris, very quickly.
Yeah, just ditto to that. People, if they put half their brain power into, resisting this slavery as they do watching football and remembering the names.
Unbelievable.
The system would crumble immediately.
Unbelievable. Ralph, very, very quickly, you've got like 6 seconds.
How many sports networks, how many fantasy websites, all that money could go to end hunger. I mean, come on, it's ridiculous.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining me. Josh, Ralph, Chris, we had David at the start, we had Andrew, even Al that disagreed with us. Thanks so much for joining us this evening on this roundtable.
Yeah, thank you all.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was the Renegade Roundtable for this, well, now, 25th of 2016. Thanks for listening. I will be talking with you again very soon on Two's Company, Three's Loud. Check out all the wonderful hosts here at Renegade Broadcasting.
Here. I have hacked into the Renegade Matrix to bring you this message. The Nazis on this network have been lying to you. It's not the Jews in charge of the NWO. They're not committing white genocide. The real enemy is the Germanic death cult, setting up their Fourth Reich. And Renegade Broadcasting is the new Aryan Axis. I think the Gestapo are coming to silence me. And if you're hearing this, you are the resistance.